Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Today's Corolla Classics is brought to you by LifeLock. Certain behaviors make you more vulnerable to identity theft, like using the same password on every account. We all do it. And oversharing personal information on social media. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day we put our information at risk on the internet. A lot of times we don't even know it. So you could miss certain threats by just monitoring your credit. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. And if they detect your information, they'll send you an alert. Check it out. It's LifeLock, right, Gio?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions in all businesses, but you can find out if your information is on the dark web. Get your free dark web scan at LifeLock.com/scan. Pick the plan that's right for you and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code Adam. That's a free scan at LifeLock.com/scan and 25% off with promo code Adam.
Welcome back to Corolla Classics. Happy Saturday. You know how the show goes. We'll play some highlights of the Adam Carolla Show, over 11 years of podcasting under that man's belt, and we'll play some clips right here, right now. My name's Chris Loxamon, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show, and with me, as always, our Corolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Hey everybody, happy Saturday.
Yes, we have a great show lined up. I'm super excited. First off, I want to remind everybody about Geico. They're offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. Visit geico.com to learn more. That was all balls. And this next clip is also all balls because we got some DFG. We're kicking it off strong right now from a clip back from back in 2009.
Predating the notion of all balls or JV. This is Adam Carolla Show 28, the earliest appearance of the Deaf Rat Guy on the ACS podcast format. This is recorded and released in March of 2009. We get a little listener Q&A with the DFG.
Todd Kaufman wants to know, aren't you more agnostic than atheist? Check out the definitions. I mean, there has got to be a start to it all, just not some guy in a cloud with a wand. Right. But something, there was a start. We just don't know what it was. I think you are agnostic, not atheist. Hey, love the podcast, bro. I put that in to make it more conversational.
You put the bro in?
To make it more real.
I think agnostic, at least the definition is, there's something out there, it's not a traditional God, and I'm just not aware of it. I don't feel that way at all. I do not believe there's something out there, and I just can't, you know, we just can't define it. I don't think there's anything out there. I just think there's nature. Nature just moves. Nature evolves. Nature.
Are you out of your mind?
Who created this shit?
Johnny, it is so complex and so vast. I don't know what it is, but it did not. It didn't happen by itself. And it's just not nothing.
As a human being, we have to assign a he to everything.
But do you agree that it's pretty complex? I mean, it is.
Oh, yeah.
And
I know.
It is huge.
Here's
that happened here, by itself?
Well, look. The notion that somebody whipped it up is much more far-fetched than anything else to me.
I agree with that.
When we look at anything, here's how our minds are programmed. When you see something, you go, who made that? Who made that? You take a look at the pyramids. Who built the pyramids?
Everything has made in China now on it.
It was an alien.
Yeah, the point is whenever you see something, there's two modes we're in as human beings. One is, who did that? Who built that? Who put that there? And then the next mode is, we don't know nothing. We can't handle nothingness. We know humans built things. If you see a car, you know somebody built that. If you see a pyramid, you know somebody built that. And then we also know existence. The part we can't handle is something from nothing and non-existence. So I feel like we have carefully crafted ourselves a this guy put that mountain there, and B, when you die, you'll get to hang out with that guy who put the mountain there.
I don't believe that, though. I think we live one time, but I think something, not individual or person, something
Well, look, well, then maybe you're calling this religious
I don't believe
deity.
In man-made religion.
Maybe you're calling this force, if you want to call it nature, I'll call it nature. Because, you know, you take a piece of bread, you leave it out for a day, you see a bunch of mold grow on it, then the next thing you know, there's maggots on it, then the next thing you know, the maggots turn into flies. I mean, it is pretty nuts. Like, when you see a caterpillar turn into a butterfly, it's pretty fucking nuts.
It is.
It is a caterpillar that turns to a butterfly, right?
Correct. Then they have those parasitic wasps and shit that lay their eggs in the caterpillar.
Nature is a total freak show, crazier than anything any science fiction writer could come up with.
How does this happen all by itself?
It starts off with just some protozoa or some protein or some DNA or something that just that grows. That it's nature, and we're constantly evolving and constantly changing. It started off with something with one cell. I don't know. I'm just not signing off on the part where there's a guy behind it. And then if you're going to say, well, forget about the guy behind it. There's just some energy force behind it. Well, okay, fine. I'll sign off on something being there. But you're not going to meet that person. And you ain't going anywhere but in the ground after you die. And you're not going to be – well, you will be reunited with your family as long as your family's in the ground. But you'll be reunited with everyone's family who's in the ground.
Putin's uncle, he said that the purpose in life is to procreate.
Right.
And then after he had a vasectomy, he thought that his purpose was done and he had a nervous breakdown.
Oh, really?
What do you think about that?
I think the procreation part is causing a little more trouble than it's... At the beginning, we needed some procreation, and now we're like some sort of gazelle herd that needs to be thinned out a little bit. And if you want to take it a step further, you know what goes on in certain regions of this world where there's lots of famine and lots of rape and lots of AIDS and lots of genocide and ethnic cleansing. Us dropping off sacks of grain so they can continue fucking and shitting out kids who then continue the genocide parade or the ethnic cleansing parade or the rape parade. To me, not a great plan. You want to talk about here's my horrible Darwinistic approach to this stuff. If your society can't get their shit together to the point where they're going to die, maybe that's a good thing. And us dropping off sacks of wheat and giving you vaccinations so that you can have the strength to rape someone later on in the afternoon, that's playing God. That's fucking with people.
Yes.
So maybe the whole experiment over there in Africa, I know the jury's still out, but maybe 50 years of them fucking and raping each other and nothing working out, maybe experiment has not worked out quite so good. As a matter of fact, everyone just do me a fucking favor and go listen to that Feed the World song. And listen to the very end when Bob Geldof is like, it's December 24th, 1984. It's 2 a.m. in the morning, and there's still thousands of hungry people. That's 25 fucking years ago. Has anything gotten better? No. Why? We dropped off more sacks of grain so they could fucking rape some more.
Well, no, actually, they have they figured out a way to cure AIDS by fucking a virgin.
Yeah, I know. And can't somebody just fucking speak out and call it what it is? These are primitive people that are there's genocide going on over there. It's nothing but rape. It's AIDS everywhere. Somebody stop dropping off fucking sacks. Either we should just napalm the whole fucking place and start from scratch, or start dropping off some fucking condoms. And by the way, when the Pope is still taking a stance against condoms, and these people have not knocked off the rape stuff, he's doing them a disservice. So no more sacks of grain. Just drop off sacks of condoms.
They do say though that when you rape someone with a condom, it makes you less of a man.
Oh, really? Yeah. No. It's an awesome culture. It's an awesome culture. Everything's beautiful. And you can't judge, and all cultures are the same. It's just some cultures like to rape each other a lot and need sacks of grain dropped off. That's all.
this is not a question. It is a personal comment of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Octomom, on the one hand, maybe she needs love, and she's trying to get it with her 16 kids.
Right.
My personal theory is that what she needs is a hard cock in the ass.
Really?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Well, if she'd gone that direction, maybe she wouldn't have all these kids.
Couch Stealer said, Ace, could you beat up a chimpanzee?
No. I think I was talking to, I don't know, who, Joel McHale or something about it. And chimps, they're no Marcus of Queensberry with chimps. Chimps go for the face. First thing they do is they go for your face because they think you're going to try to bite them. And then the second thing they do is go for your genitalia because they think you're going to try to, like, nail their partner. So imagine you just, it's essentially a hair-covered garbage disposal that's going at your face and then going at your junk. That ain't exactly a guy with a wax mustache and a sash in tights doing the put up your dukes or 10 paces. And by the way, why do chimps have to be 10 times as strong as human beings? They don't look any stronger than human beings.
Yeah, they're shorter.
Oh, they're shorter. I know their arms are long and stuff, but they have the same. Their arms look the same. It's like, you know, like when you turn on the MTV. And you see Real World, and you see one of those, like, 19-year-old farm boy guys with the huge arms. Why is a skinny chimp arm 10 times stronger than his big arm? Chimps don't even work out.
They have that, you know, when you go on a different planet, there's a different gravitational pull?
Yeah.
They have a different gravitational pull than humans do.
There's something that goes on, but the point is chimps, no Marcus of Queensberry there. Just going for the face and going for the nuts. Jesus Christ.
It's like kicking. When did kicking in a fight become normal? I mean, I think that's bullshit, bro.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Ace Man, nice to hear your podcast.
But I'd like to see a kangaroo take on a chimp. Mm. I grew up watching kangaroos box more than humans box.
Sounds like Ray and Sal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't want the chimp to... They go right after the pouch.
That's right.
And that was the DFG with a little Q&A. Hanging out with Adam back when it was the Adam Carolla podcast.
Indeed.
In 2009. That was about a month into the show. So Adam is still pulling his old friends from the radio show a lot of the times and just cracking wise. And who better than Def Frat Guy to be at your side?
Yeah, it was definitely in the era of getting everybody on for their first appearance. Where it's like, we still have to have this person on. We still haven't had them on yet. That kind of thing. And DFG is somebody you definitely want to have on as soon as possible.
Something else that you definitely want to have on as soon as possible is a pair of Tommy Johns. The secret to staying sweat-free this summer. That's Tommy John. Look, I know it's September. It's still super hot, especially in California. But wherever you are, you want some ultra-breathable underwear and bras. And cool cotton underwear for men and women, it's like having your own on-body air conditioning, right?
Indeed. It's the coolest fabric you can have next to your body, underneath your clothes. If you want to stay sweat-free, if you're concerned with having rings on your undershirt, Tommy John. The second skin's great, but if you want to stay cool, that cool cotton, that's where it's at.
That's right. And they got the lounge pants, too. Lazy day joggers, soft tees, polos. So upgrade to Tommy John today with enhanced, super breathable designs. And for a limited time, go to TommyJohn.com/classics to get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/classics for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/classics. All right, now we're gonna go about a little over a week from the last clip, forward in time. And Mike Birbiglia came on the show.
His first appearance, Adam Carolla Show 32. This is from April of 2009. They're just Adam and Mike chatting. They're getting a little bit of the stuff from Sleepwalk with me and Mike's condition and being like in a medical journal and being a case study. And then Adam riffs. It's a hilarious clip. Check it out.
Podcast, man.
That's where it's heading. And speaking of things, and I don't want to make this all about me. Let's talk about you,
sure,
Mike.
Sure, why not?
Well, what do you think of my podcast?
Love it.
All right.
Yeah,
now,
great.
Back to something I was thinking about earlier today. No, jump in anytime you have thought. I was watching a TV this morning, and my old dance partner, Julianne Huff, was on Good Morning Whatever, because
I've done a lot of those shows because of my Sleepwalk With Me show in New
right.
York, where except this is the worst. I'm a medical story because of my sleepwalking.
Right.
They're like, we have Mike Birbiglia and a doctor to tell you
tell
what's
you
wrong
what.
With him.
This doctor is going to explain why he's not funny. So, yeah, when we will get into Mike's sleepwalking stories, which are legendary and awesome and all true, in just one moment. Julianne Hough was on there, and the whole thing was Dancing with the Stars and their phenomenal, their bodies, their diets and their bodies.
Yeah.
And she looks amazing, and she's all spray painted tan, and she's on the cover of the magazine and
is
the other
she,
hot chick.
Is she on Dancing with the Stars, Diane Hough?
She's Julianne Hough is the
Julianne Hough.
Don't pretend you're not gay. Is the hot is the hot super hot blonde who was my dance partner on Dancing with the Stars.
Gotcha.
And she's 19.
Oh, wow.
She dances 5 hours a day, and she lives off Twizzlers.
Yeah.
And she's going to go on Good Morning America and give her diet tips. I know what her diet tips are.
Don't eat.
Diet Pepsi, Red Hots. No, or dance 5 hours. Well, here's her number one diet tip. Be 19.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
you haven't hit 30 yet when your body goes, oh, yeah, by the way, fuck you.
Yeah. Oh, there's a switch marked dying, and we're going to flip it right. When's 30th birthday? Now.
Yeah.
So we'll be slowly closing down.
Yeah.
It'll be like when it won't be like when a small corner store says, you guys got to clear out of here. Like it won't be like a little candle store. It'll be like a Costco.
Yeah.
They'll do that thing where like, shoppers in 30 minutes. You'll get a lot of lead time, but they'll start. You'll see the old lady packing up the cheese samples.
Yeah.
You'll see the guy with the pallet jack come out.
Yeah.
Lights start dimming a little. It's going to take 40, 50 years, but we're shutting down this factory.
Yeah.
This store known as You is closing.
That's right.
And when you're 19, it's high noon on a Wednesday. You are open for business. So she's a great girl. She's an awesome dancer, and she looks amazing. She has an amazing genetic hand dealt to her. She's a very hot, you know, 115-pound blonde.
Yeah.
She practices.
This whole thing, by the way, reminds me of the movie Once.
Yes.
Where you are the older 37-year-old musician, and then she's the young girl who walks by and goes, oh,
yeah,
I should do something with you.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Did you ever see that movie?
Yes. If
similar.
If just once I could nail a hot 19-year-old. She dances 4.5 hours a day.
Yeah.
She's 19, and she has a great genetic hand dealt to her. Thus, she can eat whatever the fuck she wants, whenever the fuck she wants to eat it.
So the 56-year-old housewife watching Good Morning America is not going to go, oh, that's what I'll do.
She has no tips to offer other than be born in 1989. That's her number one tip. Here's my number one diet tip for you. Be born in 1989 and have a crazy hot Germanic parents from Utah who put you in dance class at age 5. She has no tips. I mean, this is our problem as a society. We take these great looking people and we go, hey man, tell us how to be great looking. They're the last person you need to talk to about being great looking. They were born great looking. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Find me a 7 that used to be a 4.5. That's who I want to talk to about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He can tell me about his new frames and his hair replacement procedure.
I went to spinning class for the first time today.
Yeah.
And
that's awesome.
There's some skinny people there.
Yeah.
And mostly women.
Yeah.
And they're so skinny. And it got me thinking about how, the culture kind of dismisses people who are too skinny.
Yes.
But they want you to be skinny.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, skinnier. Whoa. Too skinny.
I know, and it's weird because we don't do that with IQ. Like, come on, people, we need you to do better on these tests, or we need you to be smarter. And then at a certain point, like, oh, slow down, Einstein. You're knocking on 175 IQ points there, and you're making the rest of us look bad. No, there isn't. It's that way with – no one does it with money. Like, oh, okay, you got $10 million in the bank. I think you should cool your jets, sweetie, and relax for a while.
Yeah.
It's none of that. But with skinny, it is the only thing where, if you think about it, all the other trappings of society or all the other things society sort of wants you to do or tells you to do, you know, make money, career, so on and so forth, intelligence, family, whatever it is. Nobody ever says, stop, you're too good a dad, stop, you're too good an employee.
Yeah.
Skinny is that one thing where you break the – you start getting into double digits and somebody screams
at you. And
then
you're in Sun Magazine.
You're talking to Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
And he, by the way, he's scary and I'm 200 pounds. If I was 89 pounds, I would be freaked out that he would eat me like a ladyfinger.
Yeah.
He's a scary, large, condescending, big man. So – you're saying when you get skinny, you do have to stop, and it's the only positive thing we tell you to knock off at a certain point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to spinning class for the first time, and then a few months ago, my wife convinced me to go to this class called Core Fusion, where you basically, you work on your core, and you fashion your vertebrae into a fine powder.
Yeah, and, I know.
have you ever gone to one of these things?
I know what the core training is.
Yeah.
It used to – I mean, we used to just break our – we used to do this when it came to working out. Be like – you would show up at the gym and you'd be like, all right, hey, body parts, get a hand in. Get a hand in. Hand, get a hand in. Ironic. Okay, listen, calves, over there on that machine. Arms, over there on that machine. Delts, lats, triceps, over there on that machine. All right, spread out. Ready? Break. And all your parts would just go different directions. Now you go to the gym, it's like, okay, core, this is our core. We need to pull everything into the core. Mike, I don't feel like you're working your eyelids into your core. I need your nostrils, your fillings, and your eyelids to be... your right lobe, earlobe is in your core, but I'm not feeling. It's like a snail, like a snake eating its tail. It's like they want you just implode into your own core.
Yeah.
So you sit there and do your core, and it's really just feels like some sort of Kegel exercise.
Yes.
Or something.
Well, it's a very sexual thing, and again, like spinning class, only guy in the class.
Sure.
Yeah, and core fusion, the only guy, and. And then, you know, you don't want to make eye contact with anybody.
Right.
Because then you feel creepy.
But these, don't you feel like saying to these chicks, like, I want to go to the gym, and I want to go to the chicks that are sinewy, like Madonna-esque, you know, veins.
Yeah.
And, I mean, really looking... looking like that skeleton from the Motley Crue record or whatever. What was that? Oh, God. What was that? Weezer, help me out. There used to be an 80s hair band that just had that basically Skeletor type wasn't – I know you guys are all at home yelling right now. It wasn't Motley Crue. It wasn't like Quiet Ride. It was like one of those big bands, and they would always use the same sort of Crypt Keeper sort of face. But the point is I want to say to the chicks that are all veins, muscles, and striations, hey, knock it off.
Yeah.
Like, we don't like this. You're doing it for other chicks. That's for other chicks. Other chicks admire your rock-hard abs.
Yeah.
I don't want a
Not
rock-hard.
Into it.
I'm looking...
Yeah.
What, you know what I want in abs? I want a nice, deep aqueduct for my spunk. That's what I want. I don't want it bouncing off and hitting me in the eye. I don't want to get pink eye because I busted a nut on your belly and it flew back at me. Yeah, I don't want any friendly fire. I don't want any, like, friendly nut fire hitting me in the face.
Yeah.
I want it just to absorb and fall right in that beautiful... You know that navel from the 60s?
Yeah.
The hot chicks tanned by the sun, not by the spray from the 60s?
Yeah.
Had that beautiful deep navel? That's what I want.
Yeah.
Not the jizz trampoline.
I have...
Hold on, Don. That may have been the name of the band.
No, was it Iron Maiden?
Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden, that's right, yeah.
And you're talking about the 60s Playboy centerfold type of girl.
Yeah. Now, are you checking out the Iron Maiden Skeletor thing? But it is Iron Maiden, isn't it? No, maybe it's not Iron Maiden.
There's like a...
Yeah, it is.
Well, there's a zombie.
Yeah.
There's a skeleton. Like, yeah, it's got to be Iron Maiden is what you're thinking.
What
of.
Was that weird thing?
Get like, on a laptop for you.
Where you're supposed to... You're trying to attract 15-year-old boys, and you're like... Listen to our music, or we'll scare the shit out of you.
Yeah, I never got into that.
I never understood. Like, hold on, am I supposed to cry or beat off or cower? Like, I don't know what emotion I'm trying to conduct here.
Yeah,
So, no, I'm sorry. So, yeah. they work out too hard.
Yeah, so they work out too hard. This week I went to Core Fusion. So my wife and I both go to the same place, and she didn't go this one day. And I ran into, like, a friend of ours, like a friend of hers who I know a little bit, who I've met a few times,
right.
this woman who's in the class. And I go, hey, how's it going? Or she came up to me. She's like, hey, how's it going? I was like, hey, what's up? And I was in my head. I was thinking about other stuff. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that friendly.
Right.
When we go into class. And then I start beating myself up like,
right.
this is what Jenny's always talking about. I'm not friendly enough
yeah.
to people. I'm too in my head. And so
you're up in your head. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm not effusive enough to people. So in the middle of the class when we're doing like these thrusts and like
right.
tuck under and releases.
Sure.
I make eye contact with that girl
sure.
who I hadn't said hi to, and we're in like this very like uncomfortable, almost like pretzel like position,
right?
And I like smile at her, and then I realize it's not her.
Yeah. Oh, really?
It's someone else.
Wow.
And she looks so, and the girl and the woman looks away.
If it was a dude with long blonde hair, turn around like a Benny Hill sketch, it would be awesome. I got one-upped in the hug department. Like you and I are the same way. We're probably uncomfortable. We're not real physical.
Yeah.
We're not real emotional. And so we don't really know what to do when people are celebrating or upset or
sure.
what have you.
Yeah.
And my nanny here's the thing. You should surround yourself with like-minded people who are equally as physically uncomfortable in their own body as you are. So, like, Mike, you and I should hang out.
Yeah.
Because I hang out with, like, Kimmel, and Kimmel's a hugger.
Oh,
and he knows what to say, you know. Oh,
yeah.
Tell us more about
sure.
that, whatever. And that just shines a spotlight on me. That's like, look, if you have a couple of pimples, hang out with someone with a lot of zits.
Yeah.
But do not hang out with a porcelain China doll. You're going to look like pizza face.
Yeah.
And my assistant, Jay, is one of those warm guys. He grew up in one of those hugging families. So.
Yeah.
Before I come here, there's a knock on my door. I open the door. It's Paula. It's the daughter of my nanny, Paula. And I open the door and I'm like, hey, how's it going there? Get a little fist bump or whatever. And she's like, going good, Adam. Then she walks past me and there's Jay and he gives her the big embrace. And now I'm standing there like the asshole who doesn't hug.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to either let him go or tell him, look, you can hug the person if I hug the person.
Yeah.
But once they get past my turnstile,
yeah.
you can't hug them.
Yes.
And there's no way you two can be closer. Yeah. I know her better than you do.
This goes straight to summer camp, I think. I think it's established as a child whether or not you're a hugger.
Really?
Yeah. I think I remember going to, like, Camp Marshall, like this 4-H camp.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these guys, Mike Dowling was a guy I went to camp with. He gives big hugs to everybody. He's just
right.
the hug. He's the big hug bear.
Right.
And I didn't get in on that. And
yeah.
then that sticks.
Yeah. So you just join. It's almost like a religion. You just got baptized with a cold high five or a
yeah.
fist pump.
Yeah.
And that's your religion.
And you can and it's painful sometimes when non-hugger tries to become a hugger.
Well, that's...
And you can just see it a mile away.
That's the whole point. It's like when the best man gives the speech and he operates a pallet jack at the Costco, and he's the unfunniest guy in the world, but somebody told him you have to open with 3 or 4 jokes.
Yeah.
And that is it's worse than the straight one.
Yeah.
Straight with no jokes is just unfunny. This is uncomfortable and unfunny.
Yeah.
Once in a while, I'll hug my mom, and she'll give me the palm to the back kind of,
yeah.
like almost like I have something lodged in my windpipe,
yeah.
and I'll think, oh, yeah, this is why we're not the huggers.
Yeah.
We're not the huggermans. Like, my mom doesn't even know how to hug. Like,
yeah.
she gives the...
Yeah, it's funny.
That's
like
how you know. The guy who doesn't know how to hug, when he's forced to hug you, well...
Yeah.
He starts smacking between the shoulder blades. Like you're choking.
That clip from April of 2009 featuring comedian Mike Birbiglia. He's come on to appear a few other times on this show and always great. Love whenever he comes on. Very, very funny. Great author, too. Now, moving on to the next clip. Adam, I don't know if you knew this, Gio. He tends to talk about himself every once in a while. And this one will be no different. Adam has a lot of stories about, not a lot, but he has some memorable stories about getting into fights. I mean, there's some famous ones. He's going to talk about one of those epic fights right now.
Adam Carolla Show, episode 64, Dave Damashek and DFG. They do another round of listener Q&A, and somebody wants to know about the Galleria parking structure gang fight. This is from May of 2009. Check it out.
Yeah. It's from the viewer. I mean, it's on the email. And they want to know about you and Donnie when you were in the fight at the Galleria when some dudes pulled nunchucks.
Yeah.
What was up with that shit?
I just finished my beer, so it'll be a good time to tell you. Donnie, were you there for that?
No, to be honest, I was not there. I got the story once you got back to the apartment.
This guy had not nunchucks, but a chain that was about 3 feet long that was chrome, kind of like a dog chain. It was about 3 feet long and chrome, and had two solid chrome nunchuck size solid, though, steel bars that were chrome, too, on the end of it. I don't know where you get these things, mail order or something. And you'd swing it around, and if it hit you, it was like a mace, like back in the old days. And this guy was a punk rocker who was terrorizing people in the parking lot of the Sherman Oaks Galleria, where they film Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And I always had a beef with punk rockers because I never liked the guy who made himself look scary and thus was a badass, like, because he had a mohawk, he had a, you know, safety pin going through his nose, he was wearing his anarchy jacket, he was wearing his boots, you know, he had a little eyeliner on, he had that Clockwork Orange scary thing. But I always knew that just under that was a pussy, unathletic guy from high school that couldn't make the football team, you know, and thus he overcompensated. Jocks never, you know, the guys who grew up in Iowa and were all city wrestlers, they didn't have the spiked hair and all that eyeliner and all that shit. So they were always an easy mark for me because I knew these guys are always unathletic. They look scary, but they're peacocks, you know, and you could kick their ass. And this guy was twirling this thing around. No, he was terrorizing people, and people were, like, running from them. And he was like, yeah, get the fuck out of here. And him, it was out of a movie. It was him and his buddy. And him and his buddy were just like, yeah, keep moving, old man. And then they're, like, fucking with people down there. And me and Snake, who's Todd Euler, but he turned into Snake Euler because we all love Speed Racer, and who was a very scrappy Jew. And I think Ray was there. I don't know if Chris was there. And we were leaving, and we were sort of watching from afar this punk rock guy who was wreaking havoc on everyone. And so we just decided to kind of confront him, you know, like tell him, like, hey, knock it off or get out or beat it or stop fucking with people, you know. So we just – but we're kind of on the way to the car. We're just going to cross paths with him. And then he gave a, like, you know, screw you. You want some? And we're like, yeah, we want some. And then he pulled this weapon out. And he started swinging this weapon. He was like, whoosh, 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 over his head. And I was wearing, remember my leather bomber jacket that was so cool that some asshole stole from a party?
I'm really upset that jacket's
gone. Yeah, I had the cuffs and the thing all redone. Jacket. I bought it secondhand, and I had the cuffs redone and the bottom fringe redone. It was all beat up World War II bomber jacket. It even had the name of the guy, the pilot and shit in it. Bought it at like Aardvark's on Melrose or something. I immediately took the jacket off and was holding it up. Like a bullfighter, like Toro, Toro, because I had this big, thick leather jacket, and I was holding it in front of me, and I was going to smother this guy's crazy chain, and I was moving closer to him, and he was swinging the thing around, and I was holding the jacket up above my head, and I got just within, like, striking range of the guy, and I was kind of hoping I was going to time it right, because the thing hit you in the skull, it would crack your skull. And
so what are you doing it for? What's wrong with you?
We used to get in a lot of those. We would do that a lot. I don't know. He seemed like an asshole, and he needed his hash
come
settled. Yeah, he needed to be straightened out, and we were going to straighten him out. And there was a lot of that going on at the time. And right as I got right in front of him and right next to him, Snake Oiler just went shooting right past me, tackled him. We threw him on the back. We threw him on a car hood, started beating the shit out of him. It took his chain away, by the way. Snake probably still has it today. And then his friend just took off running, and then he just took off running, and that was that. And then when we got back to Snake's condo, I said, Snake, how did you avoid getting hit with that chain? And he said, I think he hit me with the chain. And he pulled the shirt up, and like out of a movie, from his top left shoulder blade down to his right hip was an indentation
like
of
a tire
the chain.
Track.
Yeah, like a tire track going down. But he didn't get caught with the hard steel part of the weapon.
Yeah, you know, I got another quick Todd Oiler story.
Todd Oiler got in a fair amount of fights.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. All in. Were you in the paper, Local Teens Heroes?
No.
Take down Rap Stallions, Local Toughs?
No, we just left. I mean, Todd got into it with Ray, and Ray dislocated Todd's shoulder, I think, although Todd bit him in the Donnie, remember that party over at Umgad's that we decided to go camping because we knew a fight was going to break out?
It was a total debacle.
Yeah, total debauchery broke out.
It was like, what was it? Chris's girlfriend.
Oh,
and Ray.
This is all.
This is the best story of them. Oh no, Chris and Ray. Is this the one where you get surrounded by the bad guys
No, we weren't there. But Adam said at that point during the camping trip, he's like, you know what? It's Saturday night. What are we going to miss?
Everybody was going to Umgad's brother-in-law's house or parents' house or
somewhere in Orange County.
Somewhere, someone had a big house, and our friends were there to party. And when our friends got to a big house where there was a lot of booze, they would get loaded and they would tear up the house, and then tear each other up. And me and the Wheeze knew
and this, Carl
and our buddy Carl knew this was going to happen. So we said, "Fuck it, we're going to Mount Pinos." And we packed up Donnie's Bronco and we headed out. And these guys all went to Orange County. And what happened that night was, first off, two good things. Ray was dating Chris, who had every hot chick on the planet, was dating a really hot blonde chick. And Ray was dating her, too, behind Chris's back. And if Chris and Ray ever found, if Chris ever found out that Ray was with his girl, that was Battle of the Gargantuans. Mm-hmm. And it turned into that later on.
Yeah.
But not at this point. At this point, Ray was just sneaking around with her, and Chris was at the same party. And at some point, they took off into a back bedroom and were making out, and Snake walked in to the middle of it. And he's like, huh? Oh, my God, because he was in the inner circle, and he knew that Chris was friends, you know, he knew that Chris and her had been going out for like 2 years, and he was like, holy shit, Ray, you know, what are you doing? I'm trying not to use her name. And so he just looked at him, and Ray said, Snake, you can't tell Chris. If you tell Chris, there will be a fight, will break out in this, someone's going to die. Like, do not tell Chris. And Snake was like, man,
it is like an Ultraman episode of those two fight. The skyscrapers would collapse as one of them falls.
Right. So he's like, I don't know. Chris is a pretty good friend of mine. I should really tell him. And so Snake decides, all right, I'll tell you what. I won't tell Chris, but you need to make out with me.
To the girl.
To the hot chick. Yeah. And the hot chick was like, huh? I don't think so. And Ray was like, make out with him.
And she did.
They then made out in front of Ray.
And it was quiet for another, 2 weeks?
Ray and Snake got into it, and Snake got his shoulder. Ray separated Snake's shoulder, but he bit. Snake bit Ray in the shin, and he still has the marks today. And then later on at a party, Chris found out about Ray and his gal.
What a man, though, Todd Oiler is, though. Dislocated shoulder, and still, because he got the kiss, he's a man of his word.
I think he got the kiss and then got his shoulder dislocated later on in the
night.
But
he still didn't say anything. You could be mad.
He never said anything. Now, he never. Ray dislocated his shoulder, and he never tattled on him. But later on, they found out, and Chris did destroy that house.
Maverick, have you ever been entangled in anything like that? Menage a trois kind of thing? Love triangle?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, a lot of them.
Oh, really?
A lot.
A lot of threesomes?
Sometimes with, like, if your money's tight, you know, you go, you and your buddy will get a hooker.
Right.
To share.
Oh, to share. Split. Oh, I see. Split the cost, yeah.
Or, like, if, the threesomes were really big sophomore year.
Oh, really?
And you kind of mature out of it.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Do you have any other questions, any emails over there?
Yeah, we have, there's some really interesting topics here that I really tried to work on.
Hey, can I throw one in real quick?
Sure.
I'm a Stern devotee, and they were talking about one Adam Carolla on the program recently, saying that Jimmy Kimmel, that you on Greg Fitzsimmons's his satellite show, that you were complaining about Jimmy and Stern, and Stern and company took it as you being jealous of their relationship, Jimmy and Stern's love for one another, and you feel like the odd man out, that maybe Stern is stealing Jimmy from you. How say you?
It's such a weird world, because I didn't bring it up. I mean, Greg Fitzsimmons brought it up. He brought up Stern, and he brought up Jimmy going and hanging to Stern. And then I was just fucking around, like, yeah, those two are butt fucking, and, you know, it was like, you know, hanging out, and they're best friends. I was fucking around with it, I guess.
That's how I took it.
I don't know why, but
Stern seems sincere.
Did they play?
That you feel a little wounded that you haven't been out to the Hamptons yet.
They didn't play clips.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
What did I sound like?
To me, it sounded like you were kidding around. That you were just going on and on about their lovemaking practices.
And did they bring up? I mean, I probably didn't bring up the fact that Greg Fitzsimmons brought it up. I didn't bring it up.
Yeah, no, not really. That wasn't a part
sure,
of the consideration.
Wouldn't have made their retarded point. No, I mean, I think.
And also interesting too. Let me. How about? Wasn't it originally? What's interesting about it is initially when you and Kimmel started visiting with Stern, it felt like it was the other way, didn't it? Wasn't there a feeling that maybe you and Stern had hit it off?
Well, what had happened was we both went out to do Stern at the same time some years ago, and Stern took a shining to me. I would say he liked Jimmy, but he loved me, and he wanted me to come out and essentially do whatever Artie's doing now. I mean, not get rid of Artie, but he wanted me to do take Jackie's place or something. And I had to explain to him that I had family and kids but family and jobs and obligations. And it was all in L.A. Those guys, what they do for a living is take cat shit and turn it into hippo shit. They take something the size of a ladyfinger and turn it into a bridal cake. You know what I mean? It's like, obviously, there's nothing there. Like, if I say I don't give a shit, then it just sounds like sour grapes or whatever. But you know me, right?
I really, that's exactly right. To know you is to know that you probably don't care.
Well, first off, do I have any celebrity friends? Other than Jimmy, who I met before he was a celebrity.
Dag. That's about it. But yes, it doesn't seem that you choose people based on celebrity.
Dr. Drew.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think the deal is if I...
Dickie Barrett. Wait a second. All your friends are. Who isn't a celebrity?
The frat guy. Look, I don't want to sound overly defensive, but if I made an effort, if I called Howard up and said, look, I'm going to be in New York in 2 weeks. You want to get together and have lunch or dinner or something? I'm sure he'd say yes, and then we'd get together and have dinner. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I don't do that. I mean, I don't pursue it. He calls me on occasion. I call him on occasion. I don't like to travel. I don't want to go to the Hamptons that much. Mm-hmm. I like Stern. He's a nice guy. I like Jimmy. But it's like I don't have that. I don't have that thing where I want to get on an airplane just because a guy is a celebrity and has a place in the Hamptons. I mean, I like Stern. I'll see him when I see him.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm just asking. Right. Don't get so defensive.
Sorry.
Here's another entertainment question. Yesterday was the...
Well, let me just ask you this.
Yesterday,
do you know me to be jealous of anyone's anything?
No, it is weird. You're almost, yeah, you have an almost icy sort of way about that. You lack certain human emotions.
Right, and one of them, sometimes it's good.
Right.
I mean, I may lack compassion and the ability to love and you know, generosity and many other good ones. But I also lack some bad ones, too, which is, you know, jealousy and rage and all that kind of stuff. I don't give a shit what anyone does. People say, you know, once in a while, oh, you know, Adam's just pissed off because that guy's funny and he doesn't like people that are funnier than he is. I don't give a shit about any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Have you ever known me?
I agree with that, right.
To do that. If you're funny, I want you on this show that much more. And if you're twice as funny as I am, I want you on the show every day. And I don't have any, like, jealousy or Jimmy's hanging out with. It's not a component. Mm-hmm. If I had that, I would then probably have the same thing that made me call Stern and try to get out to his place in the Hamptons. Yeah? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But will you invite him, if Stern says he's coming to L.A., will you invite him to your home?
Yeah, but he never comes to L.A.
Oh, is that right?
He almost never comes to L.A. All right, anyway.
Yesterday was the Upfront Awards.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know if CBS did pick up the dick com, because it's not in the Upfront announcement.
All right, it's not a dick com, it's a sitcom.
A dick com.
Better.
Yeah. no, they made 11 pilots to the best of my knowledge, and they picked up one of them, a Jenna Elfman pilot. As far as I know, and they'd probably get mad at me for talking about it, but I always talk about shit anyway, and no one never turns into anything, so who gives a fuck? As far as I know, there's a good chance it will be a mid-season replacement, which is we'll get picked up at some point when another show fails. Not a guarantee, not a lock, but that seems to be where it's heading. So we shall see, and that would be still a good thing for us.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
This is fun. No, continue, Mav. I think this is fun. Listener questions.
Hey, Adam. This is from Galen.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Adam, you got about 15 years or so to figure this out, but how are you going to prevent your kid from becoming the next Kim Kardashian or Brandon Greasy Bear Davis, or keep them from hanging out with the youngest Hollywood celebutas of 2025?
I don't know. The boy I'm not worried about, because he's like his daddy. He's into mechanical shit, and he wants to be left alone. That's how guys are. That they just... He wants to be left alone with his little train. He wants to push it around. And he goes solo all the time. He just goes into the den, pushes his trains in a circle. My daughter's got her little makeup kit. She's wearing makeup all over her face. And the thing that's great, and it sums up all women, and you women, so easy to figure out that before the age of 3, we can figure you out, and you take this to your grave. Here's how it works. No agenda with the son. They're both leaving to go see the horses or go wherever the park is or the choo-choo trains. And so my nanny Olga says, say goodbye to daddy. And there's my two kids, same age, and say goodbye to daddy. My son immediately just trots over to me. She give daddy a kiss, gives me a kiss. Bye, daddy. Daddy heads off. Natalia, say goodbye to daddy. No. Say goodbye to daddy. No. And then daddy. Come on, Natalia. Come on. Give me a kiss. No. Takes off running. Now I'm chasing around. Come on. Give daddy a kiss. Give daddy a kiss. No. No. I don't want. No. So fine. So now daddy goes back to the other end of the house. And then Olga, the nanny, says, well, that's my daddy. And I love him. And I'm going to go give him a kiss because that's my daddy. And then as soon as she hears wind that there's another chick that's calling me her daddy and who wants to give me a kiss goodbye, she goes, no. And then she comes over to me, and then Olga starts yelling, don't kiss him. Don't kiss him. That's my daddy. That's my daddy. Then she goes up, gives me a big kiss, and then stares at Olga, gives her the stink eye. And then Olga's like, don't kiss him again. No more kisses. That's my daddy. Don't do it. Mwah. And then gives her the stink eye again. Screw you, old lady. And then she takes off. Now, the whole point is the boys, there's not a process. You give daddy a kiss, you give daddy a kiss. That's it. Not a whole bunch of thought going into it. Not how am I going to rearrange his emotional deck chairs or anything. Just, I was told to give him a kiss. He's my dad. I'm going to go look at some fucking horses. I'll give him a kiss. Her? Give him a kiss. Wait a minute. You want me to do something? Not so fast. Let me think about this. Because this thing, this you wanting me to do something, this is a currency. I'm going to use it. This has some value. I could use it against you. It's sort of like certain martial arts, you know, like judo, taekwondo. We use you against you, your own momentum. You punch or kick or something, we'll take that and pull it and use you. That's how it is. They use your own momentum against you.
I think, you have to do that. You have to do the counterintuitive thing. That's why I always say, Damashek, you know, nothing if not, a lady killer throughout the years. Listen, here's the thing. This is a great, and Maverick, you might want to use this one the next time you're working on a lady. I always say women are so accustomed to the guy going after them and trying, you know, and laying it on. I say in the first 4 minutes to 90 minutes of a discussion with a woman, if you tell them that they're into you, you announce to them, listen, baby, settle down. I mean, I can tell you're into me, but don't lose your dignity in the process. They chuckle. They chuckle. You know what, though? He's right. I am into him.
Yeah, I take it a step further. I mean, you know, you can tell chicks you're into me and see if it works on them.
But it works.
But I go a step further. Like just pretend you're a chick and you sidled up next to me at the bar. How you doing?
Well, hello.
Man, does your pussy stink?
Excuse me?
Yeah. You love it, bitch. Start sucking.
That's the sound of me slapping you across the face.
I still think it would work better than Penny for Your Thoughts or What's Your Sign. It is an inherently flawed system. Here's the system we've mapped out as a society. Men pursue women. It is the men's job of the species. It's the male's job to pursue the female, except for all the females are infused with a gene that makes them repulsed once they find out a guy is pursuing them. Really? Is that what God had in mind? It doesn't work that way in the animal kingdom. You know what I mean? Like when a male peacock shows up in front of a female peacock, they just start fucking. It's not like the... So in all other forms of life, the male shows up, he starts showing off, and the female goes, wow, look at him, that's some plumage, I'd like to fuck him. And that's how it works. Whereas with women and human beings in our society, dude shows up, hello, let me buy you a drink. I don't think so.
But this is just American society, right?
Yeah, it's probably just American, but why the fuck is it set up this way? You know what I mean? Like, if it worked this way in the animal kingdom, there'd be no animals.
It's
no
so
one would
true.
Get laid.
You're really, absolutely right. That's
you're guilty of the crime of showing interest in them. I don't want him. He's too needy. He likes me too much.
That's why I listen. Listen to Damashek. Hear me now. Believe me later. Turn them on their ear. Tell them how they're into you. Their heads spin. What? Yeah, they can't comprehend.
You have to plant seeds in the head like this. Like you come up to them and be like, fuck, it's so fucking hot. I'm like sweating and like my heart is beating. I'm fucking hot. I'm like wet with sweat. And then they're thinking, they're going hot, fuck my pussy, and shit. And then the plant, it's like subliminal.
Subliminal?
Subliminal.
So you get the word fuck. And
like,
pussy and hot.
Like a fucking pig.
That innuendo works. Yeah.
Look, oh, man, the fucking, you stinky bitch. or whatever. You know, you have to mm-hmm. improvise.
Mm-hmm. Right. You got another question?
Adam.
And
that was Dave Damashek and DFG hanging out for a listener Q&A, and Adam telling the story about his Galleria parking structure fight with that gang.
Adam has maybe more street fight stories than anybody I know of, like in broadcasting, and they're not like exaggerating the way other people's fight stories are. They're so mundane. Yeah. Some of them are kind of cruel, and then they've even been backed up where the guy that hit him with a bat in the leg in that other story called him as a commercial airline pilot in the mid-2000s on Adam's radio show, and he's like, yeah, sorry about that. Like, he confirmed everything. So it's just one of these things where even the assailants have confirmed what Adam has told us. Right. So we can rest easy. These stories are true. And the one with the Galleria is like, it's so iconic to me because I'm not from the area, but the Galleria and being featured in all those movies throughout the 80s and like the early 90s, it's like this staple. I think I went there once before they tore it down, the old one. And it's a staple of like Los Angeles, California culture. Like Phantom Planet even had a song on a B-side called The Galleria. And the lyrics are just, I'm going to miss the Galleria. It was the only place this side of town. And it's this very simple like Casio beat, something you would love, Chris.
Yeah.
But it's just so cool that Adam has this like classic story of having a fight with a chain flail weapon. Like who has a flail in the Galleria parking lot?
It sounds like a late 80s movie. Like I
know, his buddy Snake is there. It's like, come on, man. Come on, buddy.
I can picture the scene so vividly in my head when he describes it. And I'm watching it all play out. So, yeah, you know it's real because it feels real. It sounds real. So another one of Adam's great, great fight stories.
Iconic.
Iconic, exactly. That's the right word. Now we're going to move over to August of 2009. And Adam has this great bit. He's done it on the podcast. He's done it in 50 Years Will All Be Chicks called Things to Do Before You Die. And in this clip, he's going to explain what that is.
It's a variant on it, actually. This is Adam Carolla Show 137, when it was still the podcast, of course. The guests are the Buried Life-ish show from MTV. It's a group of dudes who go around doing these various goals and stuff. It's kind of like Wholesome in a way, most of it. They taped this in late August 2009, released it mid-September 2009. And they ask Adam, and Adam like repeats it, what are the things people should do before they die? And this is like more of a serious take on the bit. So instead of jumping in a body of water with a knife in your teeth, it's like, go to Europe, like that kind of stuff. And it's really interesting to have like a serious version of that that's actually really fun. It's a really good episode with The Buried Life, Adam Carolla Show 137.
Things to do before you die. Well, I would definitely say travel and see the places, you've only seen on TV. Mm-hmm. And I would also say experience a couple of things that you really only can experience if you're there in the flesh, like hit a Mardi Gras every once in a while. Yeah. I mean, you'll smell for a couple of weeks, but definitely hit a Mardi Gras, hit a Super Bowl just to say you went, just to be a part of it, Hit it, go to a Bruce Springsteen concert just because all the idiots you hang out with go, oh, you haven't seen Bruce Springsteen, then you haven't been to a concert. And like, well, I like the Jonas Brothers. They go, no, I like Hanson. No, yeah. I mean, obviously there's all that shit. I think the important thing to do before you die is tell people you like that you like them, or at least act like it, because that would suck, dying before you told your kids you loved them or told your neighbors or your wife or whatever. I personally, I actually called my Pop Warner football coach, who I haven't spoken to in 30 years, and thanked him. That was when the guy's name is Duke. It's a solid name for a Pop Warner football coach, isn't it? Duke would be a good name for the baby. Yeah. Says it right on the football, by the way. If you look at the NFL football, we play real football over here, by the way. So the field is 7,000 yards wide and there's no end zone and there's 15 guys dressed as there's three Eskimos on every team and allowed to use spears. We have real football. It says the Duke right on the ball. But this guy had no idea what kind of impact he made in my life. I didn't come from a great I didn't have a great childhood, and this guy provided for free, by the way. He was just donating his time as a Pop Warner football coach or Pee Wee football coach, or whatever you want to call it. And I wasn't going to thank him when I was 12, because he was just the coach, But I was with the guy for like 3 or 4 years, and then you become an adult and you realize, oh, he wasn't getting paid. He wasn't, at the time you see him in the windbreaker, you think it's his job. And then you realize, no, he went to his job all day. And then when he was done with his job, instead of going home, he went over to North Hollywood Park and started helping a bunch of strange kids out. And I just called it. I found the guy's phone number and I called him. And I just said, hey, you know, this is Adam Carolla. And he goes, oh, I remember you. He said, 10 years I coached. You were the only catastrophic injury we ever had. I said, broke my shoulder and knocked it out of socket for 4 days. Horrible.
Four days out of socket.
4 days out of socket. Oh. Like I was in the wilderness and my plane went down. Yeah. Like it was a crazy, crazy, crazy story. But anyway.
What were you doing for 4 days with your shoulder? Why did you go to the hospital?
Went to the emergency room. They couldn't set it. Next day, went to an orthopedic surgeon. Couldn't set it. Next day, checked into the hospital. Waited overnight. Following morning, went under like Jacko. And they pulled it back. But 4 days. 4 days, shoulder out of socket. But anyway, Duke was like, hey, man, awesome. And then it was fun because he's like, saw you on Dancing with the Stars. And I'm like, yeah. Sure. How many guys from the North Hollywood, 1976 North Hollywood Pee-wee division made it to Dancing with the Stars? Turns out only 7. But he was like, he loved it, you know, and it was nothing. It was no calories burnt on my end. It didn't cost me anything. Made me felt better. And I'll tell you, if I would have died without saying to Duke Gallagher, hey, thanks a lot, man. You really made a positive impact in my life, and he really helped me. And I don't know if you know it or not, but I never forgot about it. Yeah. I would have been mad at myself. So as a matter of fact, I'm going to say, you know, traveling is great, and the Mardi Gras is great. But, you know, find the people that made an impact and tell them. And by the way, if I could find my biology teacher from the 10th grade, I got choice words for you too, Bucko, because I got two lists. I got the thank list. I got another one that starts with an S. Failed me. And also the guy, Mr. Gregory, failed me out of driver's ed in the 10th grade. You're on another list. So I got some work to do as far as thanking you
as well. We can help you with that. We can help you. That's right.
You can help me find Mr. Gregory?
Sure, yeah. It's,
God willing, he's not with us anymore. The man failed me out of driver's ed. Not driver's training.
Driver's Ed.
Failed in driver's Ed.
Driver's Ed.
All right. Well, yes. TP his house. How about
please. I'm sure he lives in an apartment, but we could TP. You have to be like a sniper with your toilet paper rolls. Otherwise, you're going to get collateral damage. Like, you don't want to get a neighbor. It's just, hey, what the F, man? I just live in here with my cats. What's the deal? I didn't fail anyone out of driver's ed in 1981. What the hell?
You can pull up in your Lambo and TV his house. Would you
would
it make you feel better?
I'm going to throw a few revs with my Italian V12. And then get out of the car. No, I'm going to have my assistant TP his house.
There you go.
I'll show up, my driving gloves on, pull my assistant out and say, begin the TP. Do people TP houses anymore?
I don't think so.
What happened?
I don't know.
Somebody out there.
Our director, he throws cheese. He throws processed cheese. That's the way he does it.
Like Velveeta, like the melted variety?
Sticks.
Or the stick? Or the actual slabs?
Slabs, they stick on the window.
Oh,
he kind of drives by and like spins them and they stick to the window.
He actually does drive by if somebody like...
Oh, like a Wisconsin ninja.
He kind of looks like a ninja.
Kind of looks like a ninja from Wisconsin. It gets out the cheese throwing star.
Yeah.
You'd also be good at barbecues too. Like, hey man, I said I wanted a cheese. What? Wow, there is cheese on this burger. Yeah. My bad. So he just has them, and he does them like his playing cards, like shuffles them, spreads them around. Yeah, does that thing where like you're talking to someone and they're giving you some trouble, and you see him start to reach for his cheese. It's like, no, we don't want any trouble.
Don't be on the cheese. Don't be on the cheese.
We're cool. Okay. It's a cool situation.
I'd rather get punched in the nose than a piece of cheese thrown on me. He's like, oh,
but
the
cheese is sort of like an egging in that. You egg a car, it messes the paint up, it screws up, so the cheese, once that cheese hits the door, hits the window, and then starts melting on that, you have to get a spatula to get the crap off, right?
Yeah, or some bread.
That's diabolical. It's cheap. You can go down to the Mexican market and get like 500 of those slices of Velveeta for 40 cents. That's good. That's very good. It's going to take a little... The explanation, though, like, we're going to cheese this dude's house, all right?
Come on.
Hold on, did you say cheese? Yeah, man! Hold on, how do you cheese a guy's house?
I don't know what to do, I'm just going to cheese him.
So, whoever makes, like, the guys who make Charmin must be pissed off that no one is TPing houses anymore, because it must have been just a great windfall for them back in the 60s and the 50s. Like,
because you just go through those quick, you know, it's like rolls at a time.
It is, I mean, it's going to be all, yeah. I, as a matter of fact, if I was making toilet paper, I'd like do that Renegade Underground kind of advertising that you know, where I got some, like, I'd just go to the high school. You know what I'd do? I'd get a bunch of 18-year-olds to go to high schools and like, pose as students and have them, like, walk around and go, hey, man, do you like your principal? Not really. I know where he lives. We should TP his house, dude. I got a free premium, rug, a premium. Like
three-ply.
Get the niche toilet paper market. Yeah, because best at TPing house.
Using your product one crap at a time does not use it up nearly as fast as you just chucking it toward the heavens, right?
Yeah.
But the cheese thing has to be a nice windfall for Velveeta. I mean, they got to be excited about that. Yeah. I hope that trend catches on. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the eggs. Again, anytime someone is taking your product and just chucking it.
I know, it's good because it's just turnover. That's just turnover.
Wait. Didn't you go and get eggs? You went back. You're so pissed at these people. You got eggs, and then you were leaving, but your wife is like, no, what are you doing? You can't use eggs. And so he's like, ah, fine.
Take
so
the eggs, Steve.
Puts the eggs back and gets cheese.
Cheesing the house. The I always think about that when it comes to the drug companies, like when you hear about the guy like who had the habit of like he had 150 Vicodin a day. Like if you're making Vicodin, that's cool for you, right? Like I know they're not evil, they're all evil, but I mean if you think about it, you could hand a few out to guys that have had, you know, oral surgery, or you could just have a whole bunch of guys that used to be in the NFL that are eating 100 a day. That's pretty good money, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the like Pfizer and Upjohn version of TPing your house.
Yeah, that's
start
true.
Changing the ads to be like, did you play in the NFL?
Well, give me the red carpet example.
I want to tell you quickly because you mentioned your the coach that you talked to.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you should tell them the story yesterday. These guys just met someone yesterday.
It's like the equivalent story. We heard it yesterday, and it was incredibly inspiring. You know, we get a whole bunch, but this like. We met this guy, and he's like, the first thing he says, he's like, you know what I'd do? He's like, well, I still remember when I was 12 years old, I was walking by this house, and somehow this baseball just rolled up in front of me, and I never played baseball. I picked it up, and there's this lady across the lawn, and she was like, toss it back. And so he just, you know, whipped it at her, and she was like, holy smokes, do you play ball, kid? And he's like, no, I've never played. And she's like, do you want to play baseball? And he's like, yeah, I do. I'd like to try. I'd never tried it before. And she's like, go get this thing signed by your mom and bring it back tomorrow. So he did that. Came back the next day with the signed paper.
And she molested him.
It's a terrible story.
Yeah. But it's heart wrenching.
I think everyone learns a lesson.
So it turns the paper in.
Yeah, and. And the game was that day. He played. He started pitching, and he was like an amazing pitcher. Spent the next 45 years playing baseball.
Really?
Yeah. And he's like, this was the first thing he said. He's like, I'd like to go back and tell her exactly like you said. He's like, this lady changed my life, and she has no idea about it. And like, I'd like to find her, you know, look her up, you know, see if she's still alive, and throw a baseball with her.
So he goes back to his hometown. Yeah. And he's not in Pennsylvania when you guys run into him.
No, this was actually here in L.A.
Yeah, yeah, we met him yesterday, so yeah, we're thinking about
it. And again, you just ran into the, you just yeah. randomly
we were actually in a bar, and we're just like, yo, man, like, can I ask you a kind of a funny question? What do you want
to
do
like,
before you die?
He's like, let me take my catcher's mask off and talk to you, because I'm that into baseball.
I love baseball.
The shin guards, that's for something else. So if you buy me a beer, we can talk. So... It is true. I guess everyone you speak to, if you sort of pushed them on it a little bit, especially if they were, you know, older than 25. I know it's a little out of MTV's demo. But if you're a little bit older and you talk to them and you said, what do you think? They'd have something they wanted to do or someone they wanted to thank.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this guy wants to go back to Pennsylvania, find this woman, and thank her.
Exactly. We should clarify, though, because it's important. Like, we don't answer to MTV. Like, we're doing it independently.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they've agreed to broadcast it. So, like, we film and do
that's what I thought when I was doing Loveline Kid. Now, wake up.
No, they've been all right.
They have.
Because, like, we, as I said, like, we started this in 2006,
mm-hmm.
right? We basically had no idea what we were doing. We just, like, got an RV, bought a camera on eBay, made this website with this list, took 2 weeks off at the end of summer. We like literally just called companies in the phone book. It's like, this is our idea. We want to do this documentary, this project. Actually, we faked that we had this production company.
Mm-hmm.
And companies paid for our gas. Some people gave us skateboards to give away and whatever. And so we just took off for 2 weeks filming. And media caught wind of it. And it's sort of like we were on the front page of the paper, which was on the list. And like it just sort of began to grow. And after 2 weeks, we came back home and there was like hundreds of emails in our inbox. People being like, we saw your guys' list. We saw your project. We saw your list online. We can help you. Like, you guys want to ride a bull? We can get you guys on a bull. You guys want to make a toast to a stranger's wedding? Like, a friend's having a wedding. You should come. You guys want to get up on a hot air balloon? And then also, they would email us and say, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to sing a duet with Michael Bublé. Can you help me out? I want to fly an F-18 fighter jet. I want to learn the bagpipes. Can you help me out? So we came back after this 2 weeks in 2006, and we're like, holy shit, this is ridiculous. Like, what's going on here? There's clearly, like, a chord. Like, this question is hitting home with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were like, we got to keep going. So then we worked harder and got bigger sponsors, and that's how we bought the bus. And so we planned this next tour where we ended up getting a crew because we couldn't film everything the first time.
Right.
And we're like, we're going to do this right. So we got bigger sponsors. We raised a lot of money in two years. We bought this bus, and for 2 months we tripped around the West Coast and made this documentary about like the question and these adventures and like singing the national anthem to a packed stadium. And we ended up pulling up all this crazy stuff and helping all these people. And then we took that footage and cut a pilot. And MTV was so stoked on the whole idea that they were like, you guys just keep doing what you're doing. And like, we're producing, we're editing it and everything. And then we just give it to them and they broadcast it.
Well, they always, like, again, have that, like, if it bleeds, it leads kind of thing. But I do think people respond more to good. And I do think that's what you guys have been feeling. I mean, obviously, if people weren't digging on your vibe, you wouldn't be here right now. And you never would have gotten past, setting out on such a small scale as you were when you started. I mean, obviously, there's a momentum here. And like we talked about, people sort of want to do the right thing, and they want to help, and they want to thank people, and they want to thank their old baseball coach and their old football coach. They just don't really have the impetus. They don't have the wherewithal. Like, nobody ever sort of pushes them in the right direction, and it just takes a nudge.
Yeah.
And you guys just come by in your party bus and give everyone a nudge in the right direction. Wow. That's I called Duke Gallagher. What do you want me to do? I called the guy. And the thing about really good guys too is they like, oh no. Like he didn't even want to hear of it. Like which is weird too. Yeah. Like that's what good people. It's ironic that the guy who would volunteer all his time in the first place is also the guy who the second he smelled a compliment coming his way started deflecting it and saying, I would have done it without you and all that kind of crap.
Yeah. That was Adam hanging out with The Buried Life back in 2009, talking about some goals. Now we're going to jump ahead to 2010, and we're going to bring back Dave Damashek into the mix.
From Adam Carolla Show 269, featuring Dave Damashek and Ray Rice, who had a phoner, but it's not in this portion, it's just Adam and Dave. This was recorded in January of 2010, released the following day, January 21st, 2010. Classic Adam and Damashek. Check it out.
Let me ask you this. I've said this aloud a few times recently. I'm not making a lot of fans amongst the ladies, but when did women become slobs? Women, now I grew up watching commercials and watching every single female stand-up comedian up there going, my husband thinks the hamper is the living room. A lot of knowing nods and applause. As a matter of fact, if I took the hamper and set it in the middle of the living room, his underpants would end up anywhere but the hamper. I have to follow him around with a leaf blower just to keep his filthy socks off the floor. And he's putting his feet up on the table again. You know what I mean? This sort of thing. Sure. Meanwhile, the reality is somewhere along the line, women turned into slobs. Now, example, I just pulled out a coffee mug. And it's covered with red lipstick. So either we got a tranny in our midst, or this is one of the ladies who was over here the other day for the team meeting. And at the bottom of the mug lies about 3/4 of an inch of just plain black coffee. Inside of the goddamn sink, not near the sink, not on the table in the kitchen, not anywhere around the sink, literally in the sink. Now, the little spritz of water, here's the argument I make. It's sort of like the flushing of the urinal. I actually enjoy it. There's a sense of satisfaction, a sense of completion. I don't like walking away from my little golden bubbly trough there that I've left behind. I like pulling the handle. It's like pulling a slot machine.
You won't like this. You'll get upset with me. I give if at all possible, I'm not the most flexible, but if I can give it the heel, I give it the heel.
Right. But I'm saying now we all know. I get into this with my wife. There's a coffee mug. The coffee is being drunk all over the house, upstairs, downstairs, wherever. But at some point, it'll get bussed down from the master bedroom, down the hall, down the stairs, down the other long hallway. It makes a trip of 1,000 feet, and then it gets to the sink, and it sits in the sink, but it doesn't get dumped, and it doesn't get the little spritz of water from the sink. So then what happens? It dries out and you get that trucker black ring, that ring that truckers' mugs have on it. What's wrong with dumping
so
it?
So easily. That's exactly
you're there. Right.
The
you're
lazy
there.
D, the inability to just make the tilt of the wrist, the simple quarter turn of that, dump that Joe out. And then, listen, here's where it is.
Give it a little spritz and a rinse. And by the way, isn't it satisfying? I mean,
yeah,
I would walk around. Much like women like to pop a zit on the back of their man, I would pay people like some sort of bizarre deviant to go to their house, dump their little spittle of coffee, and then give it a quick rinse. I enjoy it. It's satisfying to me. How either that or the cereal bowl with the 1/2 inch of milk at the bottom of it, how that just gets bust down and set on the edge of the sink but never gets the rinse. So at some point, someone's going to have to get the Brillo pad out, because once that dries in there, once it sort of evaporates and dries, it's got the permanent black ring around it, right? What's up?
I hear you, and I have a hypothesis about that. But, you know, when you talk about that milk, isn't it a weird thing that what's good at 1 minute, a nice bowl of cereal with some 2% in it, or a plate with some French fries and something, and ketchup on the side, if you please. Isn't it strange that 8 minutes later, if it sits at the side of the sink and you don't rinse it off, that it's the most nauseating smell in the world? You know why the ketchup?
Yeah.
If you let it sit for 1 second, it makes you sick. But anyway, same thing with the milk, too.
Well, is there anything, by the way, that goes from hero to zero faster than a French fry?
Yeah, that's
one,
yeah.
A slice of pizza is excellent when it's piping hot and just coming out of the box. But if you took that same box with that same slice of pizza in it and put it on the roof for 2 weeks, you could still enjoy the piece of pizza. It would be 20%. It wouldn't fall off 80%. It'd just be literally leave it on the counter. You know that thing where you go upstairs drunk, you pass out, you know, you get up the next morning, you're hungover, the pizza, you were too drunk to put it away in the refrigerator, it's still sitting there. Still just as satisfying.
Hasn't lost
the thing. French fries fall off a cliff. Mm-hmm. You eat those fries on the way back from In-N-Out. They're great. If somehow, God forbid, they have to sit in the fridge for an hour and then come back and you try to microwave them, or they're just cold, boom, gone. Gone.
Yeah,
Rather take them rectally at that point. More enjoyment.
Listen, last year, I think it was, I devoted one long weekend, not intentionally. It wasn't, I didn't aspire to this. It just wound up this way. 3 straight days, I ingested nothing but pizza. That's the only thing that passed my lips was pizza pie. And
3 days.
I came out on the other side, no worse for wear. In fact, perhaps a little happier.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the thing is with the ladies, and this sounds misogynistic, but bear with me. As things have shifted now, as women have become more career focused and everything else, and you know, and you know, of course, I embrace this.
Sure. With the buckets of money coming in now. My wife's making it rain in the living room with all the 20s that are pouring down. Go ahead.
But because that, you know, the men in relationships have taken on greater responsibility, and so now it's a point of pride almost to say, if you're a woman, you know, a 30-year-old woman, oh, I don't know how to cook. He does all the cooking. How big a shift has that been in the last 20 years? That you knew virtually no guy who really, unless he was a gourmet, like, oh, he really knows, oh, he knows how to make sauces like nobody's business. But no, you didn't know guys who cooked, really, right? Maybe they worked the grill. But now I would say that at least half the homes of the, most of the guys we know, most of the guys do the cooking in the house. And the women, like I say, brag about their inability to do something in the kitchen.
It's become a point of pride for women to announce to the heavens that they're horrible cooks. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the same point of pride on the male side of that they can't screw in a light bulb or don't even know where the dipstick is under the hood of their car. I don't know why people are bragging about being semi-retarded. Things, by the way, let me just give everyone who's listening, especially the ladies, a little heads up about something like cooking. Eating is something you do almost every day. Nay, every day. Nay, three times a day. So you bragging not that you have no ability to do something that you're going to have to do, hopefully three times a day for the rest of your fucking life, is a retard's dream. It really is. Why are you bragging about that? You know, listen, I'll do the thing where I'll go like, listen, I'm no good with languages, but I don't live in fucking France. And I'll do the thing where I go, okay, I don't play any instruments, but I don't have a cello shoved in my face three times a day, every day, and I just stare at it. You know what I'm saying? There are many things. I don't play chess, but I don't enter a lot of chess tournaments. Eating is something you're going to need to do on a daily basis, that you have a kitchen, you're going to cook. How about you fucking learn to cook? How about instead of bragging about being horrible at something, you actually learn to do something? But back to the coffee mug thing.
I'm sorry.
This is nothing short of an attack. It really is an attack. It's a bold-faced attack. The idea that you take this mug, and like I said, I know it was a lady because it's got lipstick. Not only was it a lady, but I really feel like it's one of the Andrews sisters, like from the 40s.
There's a lot
of lipstick on here. Really, it's more tranny than it is lady. And it's black coffee, and it's just a half inch just sitting at the bottom in the sink. Where's the dump? Where's the rinse? And how do you make it through your childhood? Listen, I've said this a million times. There are no excuses for anyone. I was raised by apathetic hyenas in a dumpster. We had no rules. Nobody said, you know, wipe your feet before you come into the house. Nobody said, that's your salad fork. Nobody said, lift your pinky up or wait till other people stop. I had no rules. Mm-hmm. But yet, I'll see people come into my house on a day like today when it's raining outside and literally step over the mat where you wipe your feet. Like, I don't go into someone's house without doing a quick little icky shuffle on the welcome mat. It's just plain courtesy. It's you've been walking around outside, now you give your feet a little wipe, especially since they're standing there. I've seen people stride over the mat. It's weird. It's like, you're going to pull a groin stretching out, trying to get over. You don't want your feet to make contact. You're superstitious. You don't want to step on the W from welcome. What is that?
We've gone over this, and I think we're in agreement. This is not an oversight. This is a willful deed. This is an attack on the rest of society because the rules don't apply to me. And mixed with, like you say, back to the other thing, the stupidity. There's a celebration of stupidity effect.
Yes,
the Sarah Palin effect, we could call it. Oh. People love to say, she's a regular gal like you and me. Yeah, she's an imbecile. Yeah. You know, but no, this is to be celebrated in our society. Being smart is off-putting. It's repellent to people.
Yes. Yeah. I couldn't find California or Florida on a map. Let's celebrate the retard. Yes. Guys don't know where the dipstick is under the hood. Women can't find the frying pan in the kitchen. And that's just the basics of the sewing and the things that are slightly more advanced in the home ec department. Forget about that. That's completely out the window. When did we decide that was a bad thing and why? Why isn't there a sense of satisfaction a man should have when, you know, the car doesn't start where he says to the lady, pop the hood, let me go around and give it a look-see. Or where the lady has a wonderful meal waiting for her man when he comes home from a hard day's work. What happened to the satisfaction? Maybe it's that. It's the satisfaction. You know what I mean? Where the guy said, yes. I could open the phone book and call a plumber to get out here and snake this drain, but you know what? I would feel better about doing it myself. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's when we decided to farm out the raising of our kids. Maybe that. If you look at that, that's the ultimate, isn't it? I'm going to pay that Guatemalan bitch to raise my kids. I don't need any input with them. Let her teach them not to rinse out the coffee mug or not cook.
Right. Me first, selfish way. That whole thing of like, you know, this is as old as time, or at least as old as automobiles, the merging into traffic thing. That makes me crazy is what's going on in the head of the guy who is watching his car. One car merges, then the next car goes. One car merges, then the car that's in traffic. But the one guy who won't let you in.
Right.
And it seems like I'm always the guy who's trying to, you know, who's trying to make my natural merge.
That's
who won't let
feel,
me in.
David.
He gives me the stink. He right. gives me the stink eye like I'm trying to commit a crime. Who are you, bub? And like you say, satisfaction. Isn't there, like, don't we like patterns? Don't you like to be a part of the pattern? Nope. I want to nose in, and I'm going to go, I'm gonna be 2 inches from the bumper in front of me just so Damashek can't squeeze in past me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not trying to do anything wrong.
I had
one. Can I bump in there
and not
merge in for a second? Mm-hmm. I was curious. Christy's name is Missy, right?
Are we talking about porno now?
Yeah, because I'm about to email her and try to get her on the show, but I...
All right, but Donnie, do you want to give some sort of reference to anything?
I was going to lead into it in a second, but you just jumped on it. You didn't merge in, you just jumped in there.
But you didn't lead into it. You're going to follow it up with something.
Okay.
Yes, on the topic of Christy Canyon.
Yes, Missy.
Yes, the porn star.
Yeah.
Christy Canyon. Were we talking about porn stars?
No, it has nothing to do with anything, just because he used the last word we said, merge in. That's all he did to insinuate
well,
himself.
Donnie, why do you need to know this right now?
Because I'm about to contact her.
But you can't contact her in 28 minutes when the show's over?
All right.
Are you kidding me? This has nothing to do with what
producing.
We're doing
talking
right
about
now?
Chicks,
this is
so
producing.
Thought, you know.
This is producing.
Talking about chicks.
Hey,
selfish me first. I have to do this.
Ironically, yeah. The guy with the chick-like hair. Do you see what a horrible producing instinct this is?
Unbelievable.
Jump in the middle of our wonderful storytelling.
What kind of... That really was an outrage.
That's
Louise.
An attack.
I've always enjoyed
Dave.
You, but... Well, I don't get it. I just
and
don't
by
understand
the way,
where that came from.
For the love
from.
Of Christ, you've grown up with the goddamn girl in North Hollywood. You've heard me say her name 250 times.
I've never. I obsessed
Who walks
over
out
a different
and
girl.
Talking.
I didn't with large breasts. I didn't.
You've
with
heard. You grew up with her, and you've heard me say her name 2,000 times. Christy Canyon is Missy.
Yes.
All right.
Why did he just start talking in the middle of this conversation? That was a bizarre thing.
Why? Please.
Listen, I told you this the other day. I'm going to tell it to you again.
Mm-hmm.
Other day, I'm in Paquito Mas, nice Mexican food joint here in L.A. Some woman, 45-ish, heavyset woman. I'm standing there. I love the salsas, you know, the salsa bar. They have like eight. Different variety, you know, types to try.
Yes.
I'm familiar with them all. I fancy myself a connoisseur even. The woman comes up. No one's within earshot other than Damashek. She just says out loud, not to me, but just says, clearly never having been there before, oh, I don't even know where to start. Which one's good, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
And I say, oh, you can't miss with the brown and the red. This one's good. And I start telling her. And she makes eye contact with me. Shovels a little, scoops a little green into one of the little carry-along buckets and walks off.
Yeah.
What are you talking? Don't you now owe me the courtesy? You just talked to the world. The only person in the world who heard it was me.
Right.
I gave you my my expert opinion, and you gave me the high hat.
What Donnie did
who does
was
that?
An attack. That was a dry raping that she gave you. But let me tell you now I'm self-conscious about being the guy who doesn't let other people merge. Let me tell you something about being on the losing end of that the other day. Actually, 2 days ago, I was doing our good friend Petros and Money show and a great sports show out here
Wonderful.
In Los Angeles. I was doing their show, and the last time I did their show, I said to the producer, it's weird because I have money, but for some reason I hate giving it up for parking. especially if you go do someone's show and you park in the underground thing and it's $7 or it's $12. I always want the validation for that. Now, for some reason, now I would go buy a hot dog off a guy with a propane tank strapped to a shopping cart and tip him $10. I have no qualms about that. But for some reason, I don't like the parking Nazis. They're almost all assholes. It's a light raping they give you, and I can't stand these guys. So, Ray Rice, by the way, from the Baltimore Ravens is on the phone. I'll make this quick. Last time I did Petros and Money, the producer said, here, take my business card. We don't have validation. Take my business card. It's good as gold. Of course, fast forward to me sitting at the gate with the squatty Guatemalan chick looking at the business card going, I don't know why you're handing me this. And I said, well, the guy's, nah, this doesn't mean anything. So I had to pay the $8. Next time I went, which is a couple days ago, I said to the producer, by the way, your business card curries no favor down in the guard shack down there. So he said, oh, all right, we'll get it validated upstairs at Kiss FM, Ryan Seacrest. Oh, it's almost 5. Let's see if we can catch him. We go to the elevator. We're on the 3rd floor. He hits up to go to the 5th floor to Seacrest's place just to catch, wants to catch Geraldine, the receptionist. She's in the elevator and she says, what? Oh, she'd locked the joint up. Uh-huh. I was saying to the guy the whole time, don't worry about it. I'll pay the $8. We don't need that. No. Get into the elevator. As we get in the elevator, everyone piles into the elevator on the 3rd floor. And then one of them says, we're going up. And I said, listen, everyone thought we're going down the lobby. I said, we have to go up. So now we go up. Then we get in. It's closed. She's got to unlock Kiss, unlock her workstation, turn on the lights, go. And I'm saying, listen, I don't. And she's kind of shaking her head the whole time. Like, I was practically to my car next time you got it. And I was like, I would have gladly paid. And he did the no. But now everyone, now I have a train of people following us into Kiss while she turns the lights on and unlocks a joint, reopens it up so she can get her little stickers and put it on. By the way, the rich celebrity guy can't spend $5 down at the guard shack. All the $8 an hour people have to wait while Richie.
So you seem selfish. Producer Vasse he goes too far the other way. Too nice, too helpful.
Right.
We need to establish societal norms in the middle. Don't be too selfish. Don't be too helpful. It gets annoying.
That clip from 2010. Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla hanging out. They've been friends for a long time.
And they've been on air broadcasting for quite a bit. I guess the first time most of us ever heard of Dave Damashek was 2006 with a morning show. He was a main cast member. He was the sports guy.
Yeah.
And that's really where we were first exposed to him on air with Adam.
That's completely true. And I always love doing anything with Sheck. All right. We have one more clip for everybody. And this one from November of 2010.
This is Adam Carolla Show 447, Dana Gould, Larry Miller, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop, November of 2010. Gina's filling in because Teresa's already departed as news girl, and they haven't picked a new permanent person yet. This has Dana Gould and Larry Miller. You get some hypothetical road trip. You get a chunk of Huel's Jewels. You get some of Gina's news. It's a mega supercut of the episode. You get a nice chunk of this really great ep. Check it out.
How'd your book signing go?
Book signing was awesome. Thanks for bringing it up. Went down to the Grove and out here in L.A. And I was a little bit worried because L.A. can be weak when it comes to the in-person stuff.
You've cited the Catherine McPhee American Idol experience as like an indicator of L.A. doesn't turn out all the time.
Well, you got to look at it this way. Thank you. When Catherine McPhee, who I enjoy, but she screwed up her hair. why do hot chicks got to screw with their hair?
I think it's hubris. Oh, nothing can make me not hot. Watch
this.
You're
gay for saying that.
I think it's an attempt. I think it's an attempt because I saw the saw just a few moments of the Country Music Awards, and I saw my ex dancing darling Julianne Hough.
Gorgeous,
and she's gorgeous, but now she's a brunette and her hair's short. She's fucked it all up, and it's like, ladies, know when to walk away. You're never going to get hotter than this. It's sort of like a painter who just can't stop fucking with his painting. And so each time he walks away and he holds his thumb up and then the paint starts to dry a little bit, but he tries to dab on a little more. And before you know it, you've just put your foot through the Mona Lisa. Leave it alone. Walk away.
Do you think they're trying to be taken more seriously? Is that it?
I think women and I think all women, but beautiful women, are constantly trying to ratchet it up. And in an attempt to constantly ratchet it up, sometimes you've, I mean, it's like, it's almost like Evel Knievel saying, you know what, add another bus. I did 10 buses, now I'm going to do 11. I did 11, I'm going to do 12, but eventually you're coming up short and you're going to do a face plant in the front of that ramp, and that's what my ex-dance partner did. Don't muss with it. Plus, they always do these retarded interviews where they go, I wanted to know what it was like to live a life as a blonde. Really?
Me too.
How about you get a wig, bitch? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Brian. Yeah. I mean, seriously, is there any guy you ever know? Like, I want to know what it was like to be a redhead. I want to know what it's like to live life like Danny Bonaducci for a couple of weeks.
You just frost those tips.
Yeah.
I don't know what you people are talking about.
Oh. I'm just saying, tips. Ladies, especially if you're hot, leave it alone. Catherine McPhee, a great example of brunette. Julianne Hough, a great example of a blonde. Leave it alone. Walk away. What do you think? We're going to come up to you and go, oh, man, are you still blonde? Jesus, I don't want to fuck you anymore. It's been like, what, 6 months?
I'm trying to think of like actresses or famous people who've made the successful transition from blonde to brunette or vice versa. There's a couple out there.
Once in a while, Angelina Jolie does a little something back and forth for a movie role or something. But it's just you can
Rachel McAdams.
You can be too skinny and you can F with your hair too much. And it's the two things that sometimes all the weight goes away and the bosom goes and the hair gets short and it turns a different color. Just leave it be. But yes, the hometown example is Catherine McPhee. When she was down with the championship, she got down to the championship with the 21-year-old with a full mop of gray hair. At a certain point, or one of those other guys, whenever they go back to their town, like, oh, man, he's from Plentywood, Montana, they shut down the entire town.
Parade.
The whole schools and churches get shut down. Bells ring. They fill up an entire mall. The mayor comes out, gives them a key. Once in a blue moon, it's only happened one time, where someone was from Los Angeles. Like, she's from Sherman Oaks. And by the way, I know she's from Sherman Oaks because when I interviewed her, she did that thing all hot chicks do where I went, hey, you're from Sherman Oaks in San Fernando Valley? Well, I'm right next door. I grew up in North Hollywood. And she went, okay. It is that thing that hot chicks do. Like, all right, what else you got? They never go, oh, my God, yeah. Where'd you go, North Hollywood or Grant? They just go, all righty.
That don't impress me much.
I just don't give a fuck. All I know is some old dude's mouth was moving, and then it stopped. And now it's going to start moving again. She didn't do a thing where she, like, there was not a second where she went, like, oh, where'd you go to high school? Or who'd you have for whoever? Or where'd you go? Now, you from North Hollywood, like, out by Lancashire? Or are we talking Valley Village? Or are we talking about, you know, nothing? We literally both grew up next to each other, within a half a mile. Not a, hey, how about Law Dogs, man? They make a hell of a chili dog or something. Like, no local references. No, oh, man. No, what high
school? She didn't even feign a no shit.
Yeah, didn't even feign anything. Just like, she just went like, all righty. Why are you telling me this?
How about that?
But when she did her thing, you know, they have to do that thing where they're killing time for the 2 hour and whatever. She had to go back to her high school, number one, which was Notre Dame High School up the street from, you know, not too far from where I live. But she had to go back to her high school, and they basically forced the kids to go out to the gymnasium, you know, during their free period or lunch or something. And it was a bunch of sort of semi-despondent kids sitting there. And there was no mayor with a key to the city, and there was no mall, and there was no fire trucks or streets being closed down or parades down Main Street. It was nothing. Because why? It's L.A. We don't give a fuck. I mean, that's what it should say when you come into the airport. As it is, there's a picture of Via Retardo sitting there going, welcome to my city, asswipe. But it should just be, we're L.A. We don't give a shit. Like, I don't care how big you think you are.
It's
we don't care.
It's just now adding up in my mind, what was Via Grossa possibly doing other than passing up an opportunity to be on the most popular show in the world? You know what I'm saying?
Like, he was like, I got to fuck a reporter from Telemundo at noon, so what time are you guys rolling? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I know.
Mr. Villaraigosa, Fox would like to have you on the show.
You're such a whore. They probably didn't want him, but he's such a whore. Like, you don't think he'd pass that national notoriety up. But either way, again, probably to bang someone other than his wife, because he's an awesome guy. Or perhaps he was changing his name again from Tony Villar to Villaraigosa to Pancho Villa. Like, I don't know what he's changed. Maybe they're changing his name. I'll give you a choice for the mayor of Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. He's either failing the bar for the fifth time,
right?
Fucking somebody other than his wife, or changing his name for a third time.
Why couldn't he be doing all those things?
Oh, you could have been doing all.
Could he be doing them all courtside at the Laker game?
Yes. He's such an awesome... He's so inspirational for all the fucking phonies who just want to pander to Latinos and try to get elected. It's awesome. He's doing an awesome job. Well, look around. He's fucking created a utopia. Anyway, the book signing went great. So I was worried because, you know, if you said, hey, you're doing a book signing in Seattle, I'd go, awesome. There'd be a huge turnout. And if they said, you're doing a book signing in Portland or Vegas, I'd be like, awesome. But I said, you're doing a book signing in L.A., I'd be like, I don't know. It's hard to get people out. There's a picture from it. Yeah, there was a whole full crowd, and the line serpentined all the way back around, and the place was packed. And I brought Mike up to say hi. And we had a good time. And by the way, thank you so much for buying the book, everyone. And let's keep the party going. It'd be nice to stay on the New York Times bestseller list for another week.
Was it signing or was there a reading involved? Because a lot of times authors do readings of their own books. That would require reading, of course.
I would be very uncomfortable, A, reading, and then B, reading my own shit. I just did a little. I do a little conversation at the beginning. Little Q&A, little conversing, and then... pow, let's get to the signing so I can get the fuck out. I mean, so everyone can get signed. It's so important that they all get their book signed. So there you go. Gina.
Yes, sir.
Do you you have a little news queued up?
Well, I do.
Oh, well, let's hear a little about that.
Live from the International News Center, next to Donnie's Mini Bikes, this is The News with Gina Grad.
Kanye West is a man of many talents, but being a good sport, not one of them.
What?
When West,
that's a Kanye I know. Self-deprecating Kanye.
Humble as they come. Oh, yeah.
Humble, self-deprecating Kanye.
Well, West taped an appearance on the Today Show last week, and he was infuriated when producers played clips of President George W. Bush in the background while he was talking to Matt Lauer. Actually, in this clip from the Today Show debacle, where Kanye reprimands Matt Lauer for running a video of George W. Bush, Kanye was still talking, and he did not like it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't need you guys to show me the tape in order to, like, prompt my emotion to what I'm going to say. You know?
No, I'm just asking you, when you look at his face, what would you say to him?
I mean, pre-looking at his face, I came up here because I wanted to say something to him right after the fact. You know, I would say, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't really have to do the TV stuff with me. This is the reality. This is the real thing going on. This is, you know what I'm saying? I don't need all the jazz.
Yeah, he doesn't need all the jazz.
You know, when everyone says, you know what I'm saying, it usually means I don't know what the fuck you're saying. It's sort of, it's right up there with I'd like to help. You'll get no help, and I have no idea what you're saying. But as I've said many, many times before, Matt Lauer does not like black people who claim that George Bush doesn't like black people.
Well, and the thing was basically
it's right on the bumper sticker
for you know, all of us in the know in the media, they were running B-roll footage of George Bush's face, and Kanye didn't like that, so he's really pissed off. He's annoyed, so annoyed he's canceling his concert performance for the Today Show that's scheduled the day after Thanksgiving when his new album drops called My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Wes says he's canceling the concert for obvious reasons and accuses the Today Show of trying to set him up to look like a jerk. But there's another clip because it's so brilliant. Lauer asks Kanye what he would say to Bush while attempting to goad him into an apology. It's really funny.
I would say to... Can we be quiet for a second?
Mm. What do you tell to be quiet?
Little chitter chatter.
I would tell George Bush, in my moment of frustration, that I didn't have the grounds to call him a racist.
And you're sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry for.
Now shine my shoes, boy.
I think I get the point.
I want to give it the exact. Perfect wording, because everything that I say gets taken and drawn into headlines. Sure. And sure. I'm here to man up that to line got different twisted. Mistakes that I made. Yeah. And
I like that Matt Lauer says, and you're sorry. Like, say sorry to Grandpa.
Yeah. Eh, boy.
Yeah.
Stupid Matt Lauer says a stooge. He's like beholden to the rules of TV. Like, come on, let's get it going. It's like, I understand. I got you. Let's go. It's like, we actually have a compelling moment on TV, and let it breathe.
They can't stand. TV hates moments. And they don't understand anything either. Like, when Steve-O put his heel through my glass coffee table, the showrunner or whoever the executive was from Comedy Central, or by the way, all semi-retarded, came over immediately. He's like, well, we can't run that. It was a chick. We can't run that. What are we going to run? And I was like, what do you mean you can't run that? That'll be the only thing anyone ever talks about.
You're
with
welcome.
This show. Yeah. And they're like, well, we can't. I said, well, hell yeah, yes, you can. People will be talking about it the next day. No, we can't show that. And I'm like, why not? It's Steve-O. He put his heel through my coffee table. No, I had to convince this biatch. It's just so fucking ridiculous.
I was in that meeting, and there were a bunch of us around, and half the people are like younger people under the age of 30, and half were of the previous generation, and this was before YouTube and everything. And our thought was like, wow, we can't wait to get home and tell our friends to watch tonight's show. It's going to be amazing. Like, Steve-O goes crazy. He's drunk. And the other half is like, oh, can't use that. We got to trash that
such
episode.
Such a shitty impulse. Crazy? Yeah, such a retarded impulse to be like, we got to trash that.
This is in the
now.
Days before YouTube, by the way.
I'm wearing the same sweater I'm wearing now, so it's embarrassing.
You are.
It's the same one.
All right, let's move on. Go ahead, right. Gina.
Well, Jessica Simpson and Eric Johnson are engaged. Sources confirmed to usmagazine.com that the singer became engaged to beau Eric Johnson on Thursday of last week, just days, coincidentally, after Us broke the news that her husband, Nick Lachey, popped the question to Vanessa Manillo. Mm. They've been together for about 5 years. Simpson and
fill her envelope. Or is it Manila? Either way.
Simpson and Lachey split in 2005 after 3 years of being married.
Oh, I thought those kids were gone forever.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking.
The Texas native began dating the former NFL player in May while he was estranged from his first wife, stylist Carrie Johnson. Their divorce was finalized 5 months later. The newly engaged couple will spend Thanksgiving in NYC, where Simpson is scheduled to perform during the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Johnson's family will be on her float.
Oh. And she wearing the mommy jeans, or she lost the weight?
I think she's trying to lose the weight because she got a lot of shit for that. Even poor Dolly Parton came out to defend her. Well, you know, we all just put it on. I'm a bork or two.
Yeah, she puts it on her tits. Yeah. I love the idea that there's a Dollywood. And I just love the idea. I'd like to meet a human being that went to. I want to find the guy who's been to Branson, Missouri and seen like the Oak Ridge Boys or been to Dollywood. I've yet to meet that piece of white trash.
There we go.
Uh-oh. Which one? Both?
I'm planning on going to Dollywood.
That's worse than going there. That's premeditated.
I aspire someday.
That's murder one. That's white trash murder one.
Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And I've been to
we
Branson.
We had a quilt made of multiple colors. What the fuck?
Coat of many colors.
All right. Yeah. You're planning on going to Dollywood.
Yeah, and I grew up in Kansas. I've been to Branson. We call it Steal Your Dollar City, Silver Dollar City.
Right.
I've seen the Oak Ridge Boys.
Ooh.
More than once. What's that?
Elvira. That's the worst fucking song ever laid down on vinyl. Elvira. How did that song make it to number one? Do you realize Elvira was number one? Hey, hearts on fire, Elvira. Like, if you heard Oompa Oompa, if you heard that fucking song now, you'd just be like, what is this? Some kind of karaoke? No, number one. How high were we? Listen. Okay.
Hey, Gina, you're about my age. Did you have ballroom dancing in junior high?
Yes, of course.
This is the song we learned how to do one of the ballroom dances to.
All right, you know what the song should be called? All right, I'm going to sing it. Payola. Obviously, whores and coke were dropped off at program director's office. I got to get Silver on the blower and see it. There's no way. No way this is a number one song. Oh,
it's
man.
A hit.
This is such a finger popping time, baby. Toe tapper.
God, popping time.
So blows walrus ass. I mean, when somebody told the Oak Ridge Boys, hey, Elvira, number one, they must have went, are you fucking nuts? We were fucking around. We didn't even know you were recording that. That was the B-side to a song that we didn't think would make the top 1,000. We were so high. Oh my god. Sounds so bad.
They didn't even try.
It sounds like a weird, you know what it sounds like when white guys rap? My name is Jim McMahon, and I'm here to say that the Bears are going all the way. Like, yeah, she got lips like cherry wine.
Wow. Cherry mash.
Yeah. And it's got a bad syntho disco-y riff to it that makes it blow even more. Oh, who's in their car and goes, hey, you know what I need to hear? I need me some Elvira. Let's go. Come on.
My grandpa.
Oh, no, no, no.
Did the Oak Ridge Boys have another song?
Oh, I'm sure they I'm guarantee they have Oak Ridge Boys Greatest Hits Volume 8 out somewhere if you need it. But no, it's all Elvira. All right, this is enough. I'm going to throw up in my own mouth. John Heights never cracked the top 20. Not a once.
Maybe Jesus wrote fucking an Christ. Elvira.
Oh, what year was that? Did that get to number one? I swear to God, that song got to number one.
Anybody?
It's at least top five. So fucking bad.
Going to be stuck in my head all week now.
Oh, so not only do you love the Oak Ridge Boys, but you love Dolly Parton?
Well, I'm a huge Dolly Parton fan.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you both share a huge there rack. There we go. There is we that go. What it is?
These are my weapons of mass destruction, or whatever she calls it. Yeah.
All right.
Anyway. A list of Hollywood's highest earning women was released, and this week...
Elvira. Mistress of the Night.
Number one. Oprah Winfrey topped the list earning...
Hold on.
No.
Whew, I had to sit down. Really? That bitch made a nickel this year?
In other news, the sky is
blue. You normally don't hear about that.
Yeah. $315 million.
You know what else is crazy and just wacky Oprah news? You know her magazine?
Oh.
She made the cover again. She's on the cover again. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Usually she doesn't pop up on the cover too often of her own magazine, but geez, she's on a roll. How much does she make?
$315 million.
Now imagine if we weren't living in a society that was so blatantly sexist and racist, how much she would pull down.
You think?
Oh.
As a black woman, she's pretty tough.
Hasn't she trained? Well,
we all know.
Tough barriers to the top.
Do not kid yourself, like Kanye once said. We're living in a... Don't kid yourself. It's a really racist society, and it's really sexist. Brian, who do you hate more, chicks or black people?
Oh, you know, tough. This is one of Larry Miller's hypothetical questions. I don't know how you could possibly get a wrong answer.
Who would you like
here?
To hold down more?
Oh, it depends on what day
financially.
It is. Ooh. Women.
Women.
No blacks. Oh, see, this is a hard game.
It's tough. It's tough. Yeah. It's like they're both your kids who you can't stand and want to burn with a cigarette. So I don't know either, but you know what? Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
What'd you bring in last year?
Just south of $315 million.
Wow. All right. Yeah. Just came up a little short.
Yeah. Oprah beat me out again.
The point is next time we're at one of our white guy meetings,
sure.
Let's really get it together because, you know, we keep the people of color down and we keep the chicks down. And this really flies in the face of all that is sacred with us.
She's really mocking you, dude.
I know.
Specifically.
Yes. She's black and a woman is enabled. And again, just imagine how much she'd be making if she wasn't one of those things.
Well, it's not going to get any better because coming in at number two, Beyonce. 87 million.
Brian, what did I tell you about the meetings?
This is a dark day. No pun intended.
Yeah.
If you'd like to hear a couple more, Britney Spears was number three.
How does this happen?
Yeah.
I know I'm insane with this, and I know I'm way out of touch, and I'm the guy who doesn't give a fuck about Justin Bieber and his fingernail polish, but Britney Spears is nuts, right? She was kind of exposed as a little bit of a crackpot, right? She does a lot of, like, lip-syncing in her concerts, and I know she had an album a few years ago that did pretty well, but it didn't seem to get the kind of play that her previous efforts have gotten, and... Why does she make how much?
Let's see. She makes about $130 million, actually.
Jesus,
she
does.
Now, I can tell you why. Because she has done some crazy high-profile endorsement deals. Candy shoes, lucrative fragrances from Elizabeth Arden.
I know, but the fragrance, like, that's what everyone always gives me the same answer. I go, how does this bitch make $130 million a year? So I go, She's got a perfume.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go, oh, well, I didn't know there was a little bottle with some stinky stuff in it.
That answers that.
Oh, all right. Well, that's that. So I come out with the cologne and we're good?
Yep.
All right.
Madonna and Lady Gaga and Taylor Swift also made the list.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, for all of you Hangover fans, and I know you are one, Adam, The Hangover 2 will be coming out, and Bill Clinton is filming a cameo.
Oh, is he?
Yes, former President Bill Clinton was spotted on the set in Thailand over the weekend, where extra security was added for his presence. Spies say they saw Bill walk on the set and were told by crew members he was filming.
Extra security.
Yeah.
Oh, that does it. Does he travel with an attaché? I mean, does he have? He must have his security guards.
Secret
he has
service.
You get one for the rest of your life, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
All right.
And although some people associated
that was the plot with, of a great movie, Guarding Tess.
Yeah.
No, not great oh. movie.
They said that Bill was just hanging out, but it is now confirmed he was indeed shooting a cameo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll be watching.
You going to see that movie?
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of pissed off about the first one because. We wrote the Deaf Frat Guy, that movie, and there was a nice roofie scene in that where the gypsies roofied the Deaf Frat Guy, and it was just all good and all there and all laid out, and then it was like, we can't make this movie, and then always, it's like when Jimmy and I were pitching Ivan Reitman, the 33-year-old virgin, and he was saying, nobody's going to believe there's a 33-year-old virgin, and we thought he meant younger. We didn't know he meant 7 years older, but the only thing worse than having a good idea that never sees the light of day is pitching it a couple of years before a sort of version of it, a road trip. The whole Deaf Rat Guy was a road trip thing. It was like Havasu or Bus, but there was roofies involved and many of the same elements involved. And it was all like, yeah, the climate's not right for this. And then 2 years later, va-voom. And then if you ever make your movie, then you get accused of ripping off
sure.
their movie. Which I enjoyed. It's like when The Hammer came out and some people went, it's just the same as Rocky Balboa, except for we'd been working on it for 5 years. So you get accused of ripping off a movie that didn't exist when you were working on your movie. It's just you have a little independent movie and it's going to take 5 years to make. And by the way, I guess The Hammer was on Comedy Central and I found out via Twitter. And it's the weirdest thing in the world. Like, you'd think they would know or they'd tell you or they would tell me. Here's how fucking dumb Comedy Central is. If they told me in advance, like, if they told, I guess the thing ran on, like, Saturday morning. If they told me the week of, I would have given all you people a heads up and said, hey, you want to catch The Hammer on basic cable? You can go catch it on Comedy Central. But they don't say a fucking word to me.
Hammer.
I did two, and by the way, all I did was press. The week before it, I would have mentioned it a time or two. Never came up once.
Nothing.
And to be fair to the execs, I don't think they knew it was on either because no one knows what the fuck's going on over there.
Well, all the residuals coming in must really soften that blow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead. Just now.
Well, a Whittier man has allegedly tried to run down.
Whittier than who?
His ex-girlfriend in a car after she refused his wedding proposal. So
oh,
that's sweet.
You Jews. God damn you.
The LA Times reported Friday that Francisco Hernandez.
What? I said Jew.
Sephardic.
Wow.
Yeah, he was spotted carrying a bouquet of flowers while walking down the street after the incident.
Mm-hmm. Sheriff, he was selling them.
Mm-hmm.
Sheriff's Lieutenant Andrew Berg says the 22-year-old was charged with assault with a deadly weapon. The proposal took place Thursday afternoon at the Burger Stop. Mm. After the woman said no, Hernandez allegedly drove onto the sidewalk, through bushes, and into the restaurant parking lot, narrowly missing the woman. He'd written, "Stacy, will you marry me?" on the car's back window.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, there he is. He was later picked up while fleeing on foot. I don't know why they ever think they can get away.
Well, especially on foot. Yeah. The fleeing part, like fleeing an escape pod or in Wonder Woman's airplane.
Like a holodeck.
On top of a giant pterodactyl or something.
Oh, sorry, Gina. Maybe you haven't seen Point Break, but it can be done.
Yeah. You really
He's not
gotta,
coming back.
You got to focus on Point Break. But yeah, fleeing with a jetpack or something. But just the on foot part.
With your Pumas.
Yeah, that ain't probably not even his Pumas. Well, this guy sounds like a douche. But by the way, message sent for the next gal. Like, will you marry me? Yes! Oh, yeah, fine. Just don't go in the car. Yeah. That's why I do my proposing at stadiums. So, you know.
Oh, I would kill anyone who did that to me.
You would?
I would fucking kill
you
them.
You would?
Absolutely. No, because putting that kind of pressure with the Jumbotron, unless you're an absolute bitch, you can't say no.
What if Dolly Parton got involved in some way, shape, or form?
I'd marry her.
Her and the Oak Ridge Boys got together and like, hi, Gina Gray.
Oh,
hi.
My God, I would die.
Hi, I'm one of the Oak Ridge Boys. I'm the scary one with the crazy beard. Doesn't do shit. Still getting rich off this shit. You know his heart's on fire for you, Gina Grant?
Who?
Watch my boy, Mark, and he's got something to say during the seventh inning stretch.
Okay, I'll marry you,
see
Mark.
See, do it, right?
Yep, you're all romantic.
Right. See?
Imagine the there diverse crowd that's at Dollywood, by the way.
Or I'll run your ass over. Yeah.
Yeah, there you boys go. And super gays.
Oh, Dollywood has just got to be, it's got to be Ozark Hillbilly and Flatlander Hillbilly. Like
oh, no, the super gays love
Dollywood. Oh, they love Dollywood.
The super gays do?
Yeah. Is this a secret? How do I know this?
Yeah.
I didn't know. Yeah. I know the gays. Let me explain the gays. Because I know what they love. You want to know what they love?
Yeah.
Love everything we hate.
Oh.
Because they're fucking with us.
Right.
I'm now going to add this to my list. I figured out a few things.
Cheer up and be excited.
No, I'm angry now. Now, just dig this. The gays are trying to piss us off. It's not like they love country music. They fucking hate country music. God knows they hate boobies. They don't like amusement parks. And they don't like chicks. So they're over with Dolly. But they love Dolly. And they love Dolly because we don't really give a shit about Dolly. And they like to fuck with us. It's the same way the French love Jerry Lewis. Because they know that they sit around there like, what would piss him off the most? What would piss the Americans off the most? And it's like, what if we fell in love with Jerry Lewis? That would fucking confound them, piss him off. And then what do the Germans do?
Oh.
They fell in love with the Hoff. Yeah.
Get into my car.
Jump in my car.
Better than Elvira. The point is this. I like the, you're making me hot, dude. The point is this. All right. They're trying to piss us off. The gays don't give a fuck about.
It's the weather girls.
The gays don't give a fuck about Dolly. And the French don't give a fuck about. No, nobody thinks Jerry Lewis is funny, especially people that don't speak English. And nobody thinks Hasselhoff is a good recording artist.
Right.
That's them fucking with us from World War II. It's like, hey, you want to fuck would confound the fucking Americans? It would piss them off to no end. We're going to worship Hasselhoff. And they all probably get together like, come on, we got to sell out a soccer stadium when Hoff comes out here. And everyone's like, fuck that guy. And everyone's like, are you kidding? Think about the bombing of Dresden. It's going to piss them off to no fucking end. Come on. And I now know the gays are doing the same with Dollywood. Now I'm angry at everyone.
Okay, but I can't name more than 2.5 Dolly Parton songs, but she's very talented. She's a great singer.
Thank you for shitting on my point. I now think you're gay. Would you like to keep going? Or are you good?
She does
just acknowledge that I'm right.
I acknowledge that she's a talented individual, although if anyone saw Rhinestone or Straight Talk.
Amazing. Both of them.
What?
Sylvester Stallone, Griffin Dunn, what more do you want in a Dolly? James Woods.
Oh, God. That's what got me into radio, seeing Straight Talk.
Right,
speaking of
Canyon.
Straight, she doesn't know a straight person. All right, she's a talented person that gays should not give a fuck about. Sorry. Ironic, with the bosom, right? Should we bring Larry Miller in? Yeah, I think we should. Larry's going to come in here for a little hypothetical question. Again, impossible to get anything wrong. It's impossible to get a question wrong here, Larry.
By the way, I just have to say that adding extra security to Bill Clinton at this point feels like the last 3 years of Chubby Checker concerts where he'd leave the stage
right.
with armed cops around him, but sure. no one was following.
Right.
And they're still blasting, let's twist again, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Well, the thing you love, you got to love about, like, Chubby Checkers, like, Chubby does the twist, and then he does, like, the Christmas twist, and then it's like, let's twist for Hanukkah, and let's twist for Groundhog's Day, and it's a twist in front of the Vietnam Memorial. Like, he just, somebody figured, like, look, Chubby, here's how you're going to make your nut. Put the word twist in front of whatever the fuck you do, and we'll get something out of it.
That one's a somber twist.
And then he was trying other things. He tried the twirl dance, but nothing at all.
Nothing.
It's like these groups like Redbone. I remember there was a group that had that song, Come and Get Your Love. And they just repeat that chorus. And by the way, it's a very pretty song, but you can tell. Exactly. And they went on every show, Come and Get Your Love.
Right.
And you feel bad for them. You really do. Because you could see in their eyes, we don't know what we did. And we don't know how to do this again.
Someone else probably wrote the song, and they're lip syncing. I mean, back in the day, they wouldn't even bother plugging the guitar in. It was just like Paul Revere and the Raiders. Kicks just keep getting harder to find. And they would just be standing there in the Minuteman outfit.
With the band around the neck. It was a keyboard
that
hung
was
around
awesome.
The neck.
Yeah.
It's just stupid. That's the one. It's a fantastic song. But you can see
what the matter with the boobies? Darling's boobies. Gay.
I don't know how to write another song. Everyone will sing this forever. And that you feel bad.
Maybe we get Chubby to cover this one. Or put Twist in front of
everything. Hey, it's Flag Day Twist. Come on, everyone. And you know what? And speaking of which, I thought this too, that we would never have to waterboard anyone again if we kept playing Elvira. If you did that.
That's true.
If you did that, by the way, you play it twice in a row, the Oak Ridge Boys themselves will confess.
Yeah.
Even they will have to. I can't take it once. We can sing it once.
The threat of me hearing Elvira twice would get me to spill whatever national secrets I was harboring.
I was just out there with Dana Gould, and the second time Brian played the chorus, I actually turned to him and said, "It was me on the grassy knoll. I just can't
just
take it anymore.
Everything.
I have to.
All right, shall we play a little hypothetical question?
You know, first of all, absolutely. Second of all, that got me up. The Elvira, the thoughts
You're
about Chubby
up.
Checker got
fired
me up. I'm in the groove, Jackson. Watch what happens.
Focus.
Watch.
Focus.
It's the hypothetical road trip game. The game where there are no wrong answers.
We're driving to Florida.
All right, you ready? Again, no wrong answers here.
Well, that's why I like the game, but I'm ready. Just watch.
This is a crazy coinkydink because I didn't even look down at this page. It is white guy who wears the African dashiki. White guy who dons the dashiki, or David Hasselhoff. Just yelling about the man.
By the way, I would always, this one's easy. It's good sometimes to start on an easy one. Mm-hmm. Who would I like to drive cross country with? Easily. Always going to be David Hasselhoff over the white guy who wears the dashiki, and I'll tell you why.
Mm.
Because David Hasselhoff, number one, I can drink with.
Sure.
Number
yeah.
two, we can get one motel room together and both just fall down on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Number three,
eat
his kids can pick us both up when they come for him.
Sure.
This, to me, is a good cross-country partner.
Yeah.
Never, ever the white guy with the dashiki, because just seeing him get in the car, I'd have to say, I can't mm-hmm. do it. So, what?
Sorry, because
you're wrong that time. I'm right.
Let me tell you why. He would get drunk, and he would be standing out front of your, Avis Chevy Cobalt 2010 going, Kit, open the driver's side door. Kit, are you listening? Start yourself. And then at a certain point, you'd be coming up on a wreck. He'd be driving, and he'd yell, hit turbo boost, and then nothing would happen. He'd think he's living an alternate universe. So you'd get killed on the way there. He'd hit the turbo boost. You'd all be destroyed.
All right, but by the way,
one, but
at least with him, at least you'll have to agree, and I think Brian will have to agree, at least with him, I would like to drive from Frankfurt to Hamburg. At least you'll agree on that.
No, that's
come on!
Yeah, sorry, that's wrong. I'm sorry, that's incorrect. All right,
again, let's forget that one then.
Let's wipe the slate clean, except for the big goose egg that's on it. Drunk, bitter bridesmaid or drunk, stupid best man?
Oh.
Wow.
Very tough.
Again, a coin toss.
On the surface, very tough.
Mm-hmm.
But for someone who plays the game, if I may say the way I do, who knows the nuances of the game, it's actually very easy. Because if you notice, you didn't say drunk, overweight, bitter bridesmaid.
Uh-huh.
And that's the key to the whole thing. I will always take a drunk, bitter bridesmaid because I can give her hope and I can tell her there is something for everyone out there. I will never, ever drive with someone who is both drunk and stupid.
Mm.
Come on!
Sorry.
Come on!
I'm just sorry. And then, by the way, that's wrong. I just don't have to explain why. Gina, you want to try a quick one?
Just yeah,
to
see
she can't thing? Just jump in on this. Well, this is a game laughing, that takes experience and knowledge.
I'll just toss out. Just toss out a quick one.
I don't think that's fair to her.
Recumbent bike guy or wedding rabbi who thinks he's a comedian?
Oh, recumbent bike guy.
Absolutely.
Come on!
See, Larry, it's not that hard. Gina barely knows the game. She nailed it.
Well, that's, you know what? That's beginner's luck then.
All right. You want to try one more, Gina?
I guess.
Oh, and look, don't embarrass her because she just got lucky on that one. And again, you have to have the experience this kind of game takes.
Born again gangbanger or denim jacket covered in Disney buttons guy?
Born again gangbanger.
Absolutely.
Come on!
Nice
one.
All right, here we go. Last one, Larry.
Okay. All right. Fun is fun, but right. Let's put all that aside. Watch and learn
watch
something.
Watch and learn,
okay.
Sweetie.
Watch and learn.
All right. Weird guy outside of Trader Joe's who wants to give you a free chiropractic exam or burnt out guy from the 80s hair band?
Always.
He wasn't in a band. He just loves it.
Always drive cross country with the burnt out 80s guy. Never mind. With the band, never mind what he was in. Always with the burnt out 80s guy, because you never, ever trust someone you meet in front of a store. That's the key there. Even if he's good chiropractor, never trust anyone in front of a store. Always drive with someone from the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, because this guy's
going to
bring his own mix cassette with Winger and Poison.
Well, that is bad.
Yeah, and
dude, you're supposed to give reasons not to drive.
You're going to be hearing Cherry Pie all the way across country, and I'm sorry, Larry. Again,
well,
a lot.
You know what? I've learned something though, and I enjoyed the game.
You played it. I really.
What? I don't enjoy the game.
A lot of guts showing your face. Hold on. Let's keep trying this. What is your oldest son's name?
Well, I don't normally like to say on the air.
All right. What is your wife's name?
I don't normally not.
What kind of car do you drive?
Lincoln.
Sorry.
It's out there.
That's incorrect.
It's right out there.
I'm sorry, Larry. It is incorrect.
Good Lord, if I go out there and it's not a Lincoln, that would be so weird.
I'll give you one last try. What is your zodiac sign?
Libra.
Sorry,
but
Larry.
It's October 15th.
We got to bring Larry.
I swear.
I'm sorry. Dana Gould is waiting outside.
My driver's license out. I can show
Larry
you.
Larry Miller, everybody.
Oh, no.
Of
guts. All right.
His face around here. Thank you very much.
Gee, all right. Well,
appreciate
bye.
It. Again, thank you, Larry. Larry Miller, humor, by the way, is also, you can see our fantastic video that Larry has up on Funny or Die as we speak. And Larry, other than going to the website, LarryMillerHumor.com. Did I get that right?
That's exactly right.
Larry Miller Humor. You can find out all the dates, what Larry's doing, what he's up to, and all that good stuff.
Exactly. But no, there are no dates. What? There's no good stuff?
Sorry, there's no good stuff.
Come
Larry.
On. All right.
Thank you, Larry. Bye. A lot of guts. A lot of guts.
Sorry, Larry. Better luck next time you play the hypothetical road trip game.
Ah, yes. And now the great Dana Gould has showed up here.
I ripped my jeans.
What's going on? Dana's micing himself up and sitting himself down.
I'm covering the rip in my jeans.
What is going on, Dana? How are you doing, buddy?
I'm just catching up. I'm kind of gearing up for a big 2011. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start off slow and then kick back.
He's going to be at the Punchline, by the way, in San Francisco, but that's coming up in February, right?
Yeah.
Then we got a little while.
I've got the holidays. It hit me today like a seizure that I'm going to have to start doing the cards.
Oh, cards.
All that.
Do you have to do cards anymore?
Yeah.
You know, it's a nice way to go in life, and I'm sure you've spoken about your dad enough, and I've spoken about my dad enough that they establish this stuff sort of early and often, which is, it's a little bit humbling at the beginning, but you establish yourself as a sort of ne'er-do-well fuck-up who doesn't do anything or care about anything, and then no one ever says, hey, where's the card from Jim Carolla, or where's the card from Mr. Yeah. Gould? Like, it's a little tough. It's that same bitter pill, but it pays dividends. I'm going to tell my son, you establish yourself as A, the cheap guy.
Mm-hmm.
The cheap guy, you can go out to eat with all your buddies. You'll never have to pick up a tab. And it'll be rough at first, but eventually people go, you know, that's just him. He's cheap. And no one expects a card from your dad. And once you establish yourself as a super on top of it, responsible guy, then every holidays, another opportunity for you to fail. Whereas with like your dad, no one's going like, "Whoa, where's how come I never got a compliment?"
And
from
we put, you know, because you know you're a comic, so it's got to be funny. And then you, right. you know, it's like then it's your then you, all, your card is with your dog, and then your kids are born, so your
yeah, right.
dog's out of the you know
right.
Most the only you know. The birth of your child is the death of your dog starring in your Christmas card.
Sure,
and I said to my wife, you know, we always make these plans and we've got to, you know, it's got to be with the equinox and, you know, the moon's got to reflect off something. And it's this is the most response you get from your Christmas card from someone.
There you go.
Yeah. And it goes into the landfill of
right.
unused cards.
Well, now, haven't we replace the traditional Christmas card with some sort of e-something-something. I mean, isn't there...
This could be the last year for cards.
This could be the last year,
yeah.
right?
This is the last year unfriendly. For cards.
It's a weird thing, too,
well, because it works well for me, though, because I hate the Earth.
Now, it's weird because the technology to do the Christmas card... You know, when we were kids... And somebody sent the custom Christmas card.
That was like Larry. You got a card from Larry Tate.
Yeah, Larry Tate, whose brother-in-law owned a Xerox franchise. And somehow it's like you had to know somebody. Like
yeah.
somebody took a picture and then grafted it. And
it wasn't even glued on.
Right.
It was really there.
Yeah, it was like it was insane. And now it's become too easy, except for as the technology that's made it too easy comes to the fore. So does the E part of this whole thing.
You know, we have a really good friend of ours who sold stationery. You know,
really?
Sold personalized stationery 5 years ago. That was her job. And now we just checked in. She's, you know, she's not happy about it, but she's hustling hand jobs out behind the Home Depot.
Really?
The bottom fell out of the stationery.
I may have gotten one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Madeline Albright. You
super
know,
soft
former,
hands from handling.
Super. Former Secretary of State.
Yeah. Do you want to do a little Huell Hauser?
We can do Huell, but I had to talk about my song, the song that I will tear my own eyes out and use them to plug up my ears.
Really? Worse than Elvira?
Yeah. The Night Chicago Died.
Paper Lace?
Paper Lace,
How
1973.
Dare you? That's a classic.
Brother, what a night it really was. Glory be. But it didn't die. I was just there.
They're singing about Al Capone. But here's the thing about this song. Once it's like a movie. Once it crosses over into so incredibly bad or campy or whatever,
it's like Plan 9. It's its own best friend.
Once you take the guy in the ape suit and put the TV on his head, it's we've crossed over.
Yeah, we've passed the bad Rubicon.
Daddy was a cop. It's like Al Capone days.
But it's. If you know what, if you want to do a song about the Al Capone
In the land
days,
of the dollar bill. That's heavy, man.
If you want to do a song about Al Capone, maybe you could cast the musicians in instruments of the era.
Ooh.
Instead of making it's like a Bay City Rollers B-side.
It really is.
I really want to put on my tartan bib overalls and roller boogie down to the radio station.
Believe you me, when I was in junior high, there was a gal, I think her name was Joan, there was always the behemoth, you know, it's sad.
Yes.
That, you know, they always talk about the gal that, well, she had bad skin or she was overweight or she was anything, but the one they forget about is the gargantuan gal, like
mm-hmm.
the gal that somehow gets hit with the human growth hormone and too early or often or whatever.
Is she a great big
Joan
person?
Went 6'2", 210 pounds, and wasn't fat, just
right.
bright red hair, white as a ghost, big as a...
And
just
doesn't have breasts, she has dugs.
Just,
like chimpanzee dugs.
Just massive.
Turning myself
and
on.
She loved herself some Bay City Rollers.
Oh,
and she had the tartan bib overall things and the thing, and
but you know,
she was... and by the way, she was the size of... Three Bay City Rollers put together. They weren't big guys. Yeah. Yeah, poor Joan.
The sheer...
And by the way, drawing attention to yourself, it's sort of like a guy who's robbing... You know, it's like when a guy's, you know, robbing a bank and then screaming, everyone look at me. You know what I mean? Like, there's already a crime going on here, and now we're all focused on
What's amazing is that they don't have afros, yet their hair is bigger than afros.
Yeah.
It's almost like a optical illusion. It's like
they had more mass. If they did a water displacement test,
yeah,
with their hair versus like J.J. Walker or
Angela Davis.
Angela Davis, yeah. They would displace more water minus the fro. Very interesting.
Hot boys heat.
Yeah, they have more hair than Bert Convy, yet not a curl between the five of them.
But you know, when I see you talk about like the gargantua, like that's always when I, whenever I go to Comic-Con or something, and you see like a morbidly obese C-3PO
right.
hand in hand with a, you know, a morbidly obese Jawa.
Sure.
I smile inside because they found, as my
no,
wife
they
says,
found each other.
Lid for every pot. Lid for every pot.
Yeah.
God bless them.
Yeah.
That makes me, that does make me happy when I see
yeah.
that.
Someone should have put a lid on the Dentymore stew before they got a second helping. That's the lid that should have went, should have duct taped the lid down to that pot when they were
Dentymore.
Kids.
Dentymore.
But the
hungry man.
How do you handle a hungry man? The man handler. There was something called a man
yeah,
handler.
Yeah, the man handler. That was Frankie, Frankie Lane, by the way.
He sung that?
That was him. How do you handle a hungry man?
The manhandler. Very homoerotic
yeah.
for back in the day.
Yes, it was. It was. Now it's manhandler jackoff lube, which is, right. you know,
the
we make jackoff lube and chili, Saint one label.
The manhandler, I think, was for like chili or Sloppy Joe's.
It was Sloppy Joe's.
Oh, what the fuck happened to Sloppy Joe's? We're going to deprive our, you know, our kids are going to grow up in a society that has the peanut butter and jelly outlawed at schools.
Right.
And no Sloppy Joe waiting for them when they get home.
No Manwich.
No Manwich, yeah, yeah.
Well, again, the Manwich is a club where they play the hungry manhandler theme on a loop.
Bunch of guys just yeah. sitting in a sauna with a towel loosely around them.
Friendly fire like the opening of Private Ryan.
How do you handle a hungry man? They're doing the dance version, the syntho version of the manhandler.
The manhandler. What was Frankie Lane's big hit? He was sang a TV show, a Rawhide, I believe, is Frankie
Lane. Yeah, there was a bullwhip involved
again,
with
again,
it.
Frankie Lane, very... Yeah, a bullwhip, Rawhide.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a...
The manhandler.
Get a picture of Frankie Lane up there. I think all of his... Rawhide.
Good. Yeah, all had a gay theme to it.
He Kissing was another big song of his.
Oh,
now
sure.
it just hits me that might have been...
All right, we ready to do a little Uelhauser?
The View from Your Back is another big song he had.
I don't know if he's still alive. He's probably
okay,
in Branson.
Our adventure
How did
begins.
This lead to Uelhauser?
It's time to break down the game film.
Quite a
from
leap.
PBS's Uelhauser.
This technically is called
Huel's Jewels.
Wow.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Huel's a local favorite out here. You have to... I grew up out here in Southern California and watched myself some PBS. And like I said, I just grew up around Huel. It was sort of like, you know, when you're the victim of molestation or mm-hmm. I guess when you're living, you know, five to a bedroom with a, on a dirt floor in Haiti. You just... It becomes your reality. You don't really know what's going on until
right.
you get some distance from it, and you take and you look at it through the eyes of an adult.
Yeah, when you were a kid and you didn't realize that Paul Lynn and Charles Nelson Reilly were gay. They were
right.
just the funny guys that wore cravats.
Yeah, and they were confirmed bachelors.
Yeah.
And they wore
lifelong bachelor.
They wore kerchiefs with like medallions, and they're always the tannest guys in mm-hmm. the room, and they're always But it was always like, Paul, what'd you do? Oh, I just got back from Maui, where yeah. I spent there. And it's never like my wife and I or my kids. Or
showed up at the award show, always took their mother to the
right,
Emmys.
Right,
right.
And it was so, we were so naive. Like, it'd just be like, oh, man, that Liberace must pull down all kinds of tail.
I did not realize that the Village People was a gay band until they gang raped me after a concert.
Sure.
Yeah, and about right around the Indian Chief, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah. I was singing about the Navy and the YMCA
yeah,
and still
just,
nothing.
But it was like, they were sort of like the weird cousins of Kiss, you know, like,
right.
you know, it's costumes, you know, it's like Halloween all year, good for them.
But as you look at the picture and...
That's the guy.
Now, here's the whole thing. One of them, and I'm, people don't like this word, but it's the whole word. So one was dressed as a leather fag.
Yes,
that's a complete word. I'd like to replace it with homosexual at the end, but it makes the word
but
incomplete.
But that mustache,
he was not dressed as a biker. He was yeah. just dressed as that.
I just right. see a motorcycle enthusiast.
He's a bear.
But is that mustache real? Because it seems to be more mustache than any person can grow.
It is bigger than the average toilet
that's
seat.
That's no mustache.
That's the size. That really is the size of Elvis's last belt.
And look at the cowboy.
You know, that is not the face that won the West.
No. That is not the guy from the Manhandler commercials. Yeah. No. I mean, shirt undone to the navel. I mean, look at that picture.
That's
wow.
fantastic.
And the one guy who may not have been gay, I'm thinking the cop,
yeah.
The cop did all the heavy lifting. Mm-hmm. Like, he just sat in the middle, and he did the singing. And everyone else is just doing a choreograph. But
right.
But it's not like, look, if the Indian all of a sudden got a really bad case of hepatitis, they'd just say to a
yes,
janitor.
Hepatitis.
They'd be like, hey, listen, village people, you guys are going on in 10 minutes. And they'd be like, hey, the Indian's got hepatitis. All right, hey, janitor, throw that on. Put on the Indian outfit and just keep in line with the guys.
Yeah, smallpox.
Like the black guy that played Ace in half of Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
Right. You wouldn't know it. You wouldn't care. But this guy, the one dude kind of carried the band, the cop.
Mm-hmm.
You know what was funny about him? He was not only a cop, he was a motorcycle cop, so he had to wear a helmet indoors.
Yeah, and he had to perform and sing in
dressed
a helmet.
Like a cop.
Yeah, that's there's nothing.
What about the terrified private in the back?
He seemed scared.
Yeah,
not the janitor.
Now, I'm wondering if the lead singer was gay, because according to this picture, he ain't.
No.
He just looks like, God damn, I'm going to sue my fucking manager.
Yeah, or he doesn't realize what's going on directly behind him.
There's a good chance of that, though.
He wants you as a new recruit. Yeah.
And you know, at some point, this guy thought he was going to be part of the Spinners or the Four Tops or some Motown legendary band or something. Probably was listening to Smokey Robinson and growing up on Al Green and all that. Now there's this.
The cowboy is also tugging on the construction workers' chains,
right?
But I don't see a lot of random chains on construction workers.
Oh, we haven't been on job sites
I'm beginning to think he's not a real construction worker.
What? Just because there's a lightning bolt on the front of his hard hat, and he's wearing reflective shades. Yeah, it is insane, and it is insane how hard they were working to look gay, and how just naive we were. But let's see if we can figure out whether the lead singer was gay or not. But all right, shall we? And
observation before we get into Huel. Their brother band Kiss, which I linked them together from my 12-year-old perspective.
Sure.
What was Peter Criss thinking?
I don't know.
Gene Simmons, demon.
Right.
Paul Stanley, like
Star Child.
Glam rock.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Star Child.
Ziggy Stardust.
Ace Frehley, Space Age. Kitty Cat. I got it.
Nothing screams
kitty
rock
cat.
And roll like a tabby.
Yeah. Chicks are going to come on stage, throw cream up at me, salmon. I'm going to have it all.
Yeah. Maybe they'll call me Morris. It's going to be awesome.
And if you, I highly recommend Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. That's, by the way, that's the new Ace.
Yeah. Great, by the way, you want to talk about special effects. Fuck Avatar. You watch Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
The best thing is they never bothered, of all the effects that they had, they never bothered to loop Paul Stanley's speaking voice, which is really like, Star Child, demon, Terry and Julia trapped on the Ferris wheel at the amusement park.
I know.
We better save them.
He was like a gay guy from Flatbush or something.
He was like your aunt. He was like your mom's friend.
Right.
Star Child, demon, I had half a coffee cake here and now it's gone. What the hell? If you just told me you wanted it, I would have bought two. I had a coupon.
They needed to loop that.
I needed to eat the coffee cake.
I would have done whatever character I adopted. Like, I would have been like, hey, Gene, you know, you're driving this train. How long do you think this thing may go on? And Gene would have been like, 30, maybe 40 years. I'd be like, all right, I'm going with whichever. Here's my theme. Easiest to apply makeup man. Because we're going to be doing this shit for the next 40 years.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be in and out of it. I'm going to spend 2 hours in a fucking chair with grease paint getting applied to my face.
Maybe
before
just
we
a
do
mole.
This. Yeah. All right. Let's see. The biker, the cop, the construction worker, not gay.
What? Wait a minute.
Everyone else gay. Hold on. Biker, no way.
No way.
Cop, I can buy. I think the construction worker, maybe. The biker, I gotta wrap my mind around
it. If that is true, that is the definition of gay for pay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. That is gay for pay.
So on that, never mind. We'll all be right here all night.
Yes, we
but
will.
I'm fast. It's hit me now that that's not Peter Criss, nor is that Ace Frehley.
You that's, know way too much about like, the Village People.
You mean, I don't know, I'm talking about the Kiss phone.
I'm
the
kidding.
Kiss phone. But also, now it's like, maybe Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons should hook up with Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey and at least have one whole band of something.
Right.
Well, you know it's not Peter Criss because he's not totally pockmarked.
Yeah. Oh, wow. This is you guys amazing. Know a lot about Kiss.
Yeah.
That snarky Kiss, by the way. Well, hey, Donnie, let's add a podcast, Snarky Kiss Forum Roundup. Sheena Grad and Dana Gould just talk shit about which Ace is better and how bad their skin is.
Man, fuck Unmasked.
Hey, caught them at the Wilter. Not their best. Not their best.
What's the idea of the... So we're going to do our first video without our makeup on. It's going to be Shock the World. What should we do in it? I just think we should squirt a lot of milk at people. I just like, I like milk. It's good.
Lick it up.
It's good for bone density, which we all have to start being concerned about.
Boniva.
I like the idea that he sounds like...
Snagglepuss.
Snagglepuss, yeah.
Hey.
Indubitably.
Yeah, indubitably.
All right, you're right.
I'm going to sing Love Gun and hit the limo. All right, let's heal it up.
Lick it up. Lick it up. Yeah. Exit. Lick it right.
Lick it up, or I'll shoot you now. I'll shoot you in the back of the skull.
All
right.
That was a sidekick.
Droopy.
Oh, yeah, Droopy. Yeah. Droopy. Oh, yeah, there was Limpy the Lion and Hardy Har.
Hardy Har, right, yeah.
By the way, this idea that Hollywood would take hyenas and turn them into the most jovial creatures on the planet.
They're hideous.
When they're the hideous, most dangerous... they're scary for Africa. Like, yeah. Africa goes, what? No, we don't want... No, I mean, we got lions and rhinos and shit, but not they're not this bad. They're the most vicious, scariest creatures on the planet. Who decided that we're our best friends?
Hanna-Barbera also, they just steal comedians' personas.
Don't get me started.
Like, Phil Silvers is like, yeah, I'll just make him Top Cat, but we won't pay Phil Silvers.
Right.
Well, he worked hard on that.
Right.
Who was the Jackie Mason one?
That was the anteater.
Yeah.
That was the one with the big nose.
Yeah.
Very anti-Semitic.
And his friend was Dean Martin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they would just go...
just take people.
Why invent the character? Like, I got an idea for the Flintstones. You want to develop the voice? No. We'll have Ralph Cramden from The Honeymooners. Yeah. We'll just do the exact same thing.
Who brings these calls?
Such fucking derivative ripoff artists. That's why I'm the only guy who screams about what hacks they were, because they ripped off their own ideas. They ripped off everyone else's ideas. They would just take... And did Phil Silvers do Phil Silvers?
No, it was Dawes Butler.
That's the whole point.
And the fact that I instantly know the voice of Top Cat is why my life is an avalanche of pussy.
Yeah. Yeah, Top Cat. And again, if you watch The Flintstones, you just realize that he's just Jackie Gleason in The Honeymooners.
Yeah.
Like, the exact same voice. And then every once in a while, they would really rip it off and just do, like, Bogart or whatever, yeah. Lorne Bacall or
Stony
whatever.
Kurt Rock.
Right. All right, shall we do a little Huellhauser?
Let's do it up.
Thank you for bringing up the fact that Hanna-Barbera are hacks and rip everyone off.
I didn't know that we shared that.
I fucking hate them. No, and by the way, Sid and Marty Krofft as well.
Well, I'm working for them right now.
Sorry. Rehash, warming over what piece of shit from the 70s? They got to be warming over some piece of shit from the 70s.
They're developing a property that they own and create. Oh, is that what you're asking?
Oh, thank God I'm sitting down. I mean, they didn't come. Let me just say this. Now I'm fucking pissed, but it's in the book, and you guys
heard
me say
it before.
All right, I'll say it. I was walking on the lot when I was shooting my CBS pilot, and Alan Kirshenbaum, who was the showrunner and a real good mensch, had, hey, want to go in and say hi to Sid and or Marty Krofft? And I said, no. And they said, why not? Those guys are legends. And I'm like, legendary hacks. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I said, those guys have been doing this for 40 years, and they're still in the lot, and they still got their doors open, and these guys are legends. And I said, look, they made some of the shittiest shows of the 70s. They poisoned my fucking mind when I was 9. They're total hacks. Everything they do is just derivative. And no, I don't want to go pay homage to these fucking great geniuses. They're just fucking hacks. And then he said, oh, yeah? Well, these guys are 80 years old, and they're still working on something. And I said, working on what? Something new? Or is it Land of the Lost, the fucking Redux? Of course they're working on some piece of shit that they did in the 70s. You want to know why Sid, Marty, Croft aren't working on anything now? Sid, Marty, Dana, sorry I don't want to get you fired. You guys are hacks. You're not talented enough or smart enough or funny enough to compete in today's world. So you have to take your other properties that, by the way, sucked in 1972, but we somehow have a soft spot in our heart for them, and then warm them over and unleash them on a new set of eyes. And by the way, turn a new generation of brains to mush. You've made enough money. Get the fuck out of the business. You don't know what the fuck you're doing. The game has passed you by. You only were around when there was no competition, and it's fucking it'd be like if Brett Favre said, I'm going to play into my 70s. No. Get out. And at least Brett Favre can look up and look in the fucking mirror and say once he was good. You guys were never good. You never were good. You always sucked. And now we have a bunch of fond memories of a couple of rich guys who sucked. Please end the fucking madness. Take your bundle of cash. Go to your fucking house in the hills. And then look down at all of us and the city lights and laugh your ass off knowing that you got rich peddling shit to kids that didn't know better. Other than that, I think they're decent guys.
I'm sorry, Mr. Carolla, but you've not gotten the job as guidance counselor.
And that was a mega supercut featuring Huels Jules, Hypothetical Road Trip, and Gina Grad filling in for News back in 2010. Hope you enjoyed that one. And lastly, want to remind everybody once again about Geico. Right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's right. Gio loves those RV policies. And that's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save that extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. Also, Adam Carolla will be live. We're doing live podcasts and stand-up / Adam Carolla's Unprepared in Salt Lake City, home of the Great Arches. So please come and check us out. That's next weekend at Wise Guys. Head over to adamcarolla.com for more information. All right, that'll do it for Carolla Classics. Thanks again for hanging out with us. We'll be back tomorrow, so make sure to subscribe to the Carolla Classics feed to find that episode. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Super Fan Giovanni.
Follow and get it on.